Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show starring Michael, Mark Antonini, and Ray. Let's send it down to the field for tonight's show.
Hey, what's up, Ironbirds fans? Michael, Mark Antonini, and Ray Atkinson with you down on the field as we get set for Game 3 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive. Well, Ray, it's great to have you back. I had Ferris step in for you the last couple days. He was solid, but I know you're the number one co-host for a reason. It's good to have you back, man.
Yes, Ferris is a bird with few words, so I'm sure that was quite the test you had last night doing your pregame show here at Leidos Field at Ricken Stadium. Yeah, Ferris. Gotta love them, though, right?
Yeah, you know, I did most of the talking, I will say that, so it's good to have you back. Give me a little breather there on the talking side of things. Well, Ray, it was a tough loss for the Birds last night, 4-0, just didn't get much going offensively. They won game one of this series, so right now we're tied up at a game apiece going into the third game of the series. But, Ray, as always, there's some bright spots even in the losses. Let's talk about what Zach Fruit did. So Fruit made the start last night for the Ironbirds, and he turned in one of his best outings of the year. 5 1/3 innings, his longest as a professional, gave up just one hit, one run, struck out six, and he retired the first nine batters that he faced. So this dude was locked in last night.
Considering how Fruit has been pretty solid all season long, the fact that last night was his best performance of the season speaks volumes just how locked in he was last night.
And on the offensive end, only three hits for the Ironbirds, but I want to point out what Douglas Hodo did in a couple different areas last night. He had another hit to stay hot at the plate, but he also picked up a stolen base last night, a historic stolen base, which we will talk about in just a little bit. But then late in the game, Ray, another positive on the pitching side. It was good to see Preston Johnson, fresh off the injured list, back out there. He threw a scoreless inning, 1-2-3, picked up two strikeouts. So, of course, always some bright spots to look at in these games.
Especially in the bullpen, you always want a solid performance out of your bullpen, and the Ironbirds have delivered out of the bullpen all season long. It was great to see that last night, especially, you know, considering the offense was on both sides, actually, the offense was a little bit on the downside, but they were able to come in and deliver and keep the Ironbirds having a chance to win.
It's a very new-look roster right now here in Aberdeen, especially on the position player side, so we'll see if these guys can continue to settle in and get it going, and hopefully we'll see some runs tonight. Well, one way that the Ironbirds have been able to manufacture a lot of runs this season, Ray, is by taking extra bases, going first to third or second to home on base hits, you know, first to home on gappers, but stealing bases has been the Ironbirds' calling card this year. The Ironbirds have led the South Atlantic League in stolen bases all year, and they've led minor league baseball in all of stolen bases all year, but last night they picked up a little piece of history when Douglas Hodo, which I mentioned earlier, when he stole second base in the fifth inning last night, it was the 314th stolen base of the season for this Ironbirds team, which sets a new minor league baseball StatCast era team regular season record for stolen bases in a single season, and the Ironbirds did it in just 110 games. How impressive is that?
And you had to mention that it's the StatCast era of minor league baseball, considering that StatCast era minor league baseball started pretty much as long as I've been alive, in 1988, and that's when we've been tracking stats in minor league baseball. So it's the record for right there. It's pretty impressive. Who knows what they were doing in like the early 1900s, though, in the 1800s, right?
Yeah, reliable minor league data only goes back so far, but the Ironbirds now have the most stolen bases in any season since 1988, and they'll look to continue to swipe bags to help them win games. Well, Ray, like I said, hopefully we see some runs tonight. This Birds team continues to win games as we're only a half game out of a playoff spot at this point.
It's going to be a mad dash to get to the playoffs. It's a spot up for grabs, and the Ironbirds are hoping to deliver.
Well, he's Ray Atkinson. I'm Michael Mark Antonini. Thanks for tuning into the Air Show, Ironbirds fans. First pitch is coming up at 7:05. We'll have some fun. And as always, looking for another Ironbirds W. Ray, you know how we finish it off.
Let's fly.
It's another beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play Game 3 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Antonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Tough loss last night for the Birds, but they won the opener two nights ago, and they will look to regain the lead in this six-game series with a W tonight. The Birds enter tonight's game 57-53 overall. They are 23-21 in the second half. In a tie for second place in the South Atlantic League North Division, just a half game behind the Hudson Valley Renegades for first place and for a playoff spot. On the flip side, the Drive are 51-59 overall, 25-20 in half number two. They are in second place in the South Atlantic League South Division, but they are four games behind the Bowling Green Hot Rods for that playoff spot here in the second half. Well, for the first time in a little while, I've got another guest in the booth, another co-pilot with me joining the airwaves tonight, and I'm pleased to welcome from WBAL Radio in Baltimore and the Capital City Go-Go, the G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards, Brent Harris. Brent, thanks for taking the time to be here tonight. Great to have you on air with me.
Michael, thank you for the invite, and this is just a beautiful night for baseball. Couldn't ask for better weather and a great game coming up. I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, we'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup in just a little bit, Ironbirds fans. But first, I want to introduce Brent to the broadcast, and I know a lot of people that are tuned into our broadcast tonight know who you are from either hearing your voice on the radio or seeing you on TV with all the work that you've done in the broadcast industry over the years. But for those who maybe don't know who you are, or maybe don't know the, haven't put the name to the face or the voice altogether, just give a quick rundown of, you know, what you do right now with your different roles.
So right now with WBAL, and of course I host the pregame show for the Baltimore Orioles broadcast that aired on BAL 98 Rock, and also with the G League, I call the Washington Wizards G League team, the Capital City Go-Go, during the basketball season. And I've been in Baltimore for most of my career. My career started, by the way, in Delmarva, so I saw a lot of minor league baseball. I saw a lot of South Atlantic League baseball, and Shorebirds back then won two South Atlantic League championships. So it is always great to get back to minor league baseball because I just think this is the best setting to be able to watch a game. But it's exciting to watch the Orioles, as you know. The Orioles are having a great season again. A lot of young talent that's come through here in Aberdeen and play for the Ironbirds at some point. And it's a team that right now is one of the favorites to get back to hopefully a World Series. It's been a while, so it's been an exciting time right now, I think, in Baltimore when you talk baseball.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see that you do so much within the broadcast industry. I mean, all the guests that I've had on air this year have some tie to sports media or the broadcast industry in some way, but for you, you've either done or you currently do. You host a radio talk show. You've done TV stuff. You do play by play. A mix in all a bunch of different things. So for you, what's been the favorite times or the favorite gigs that you've had throughout your career?
Well, first, it makes me feel, I guess, a little old as I sit here, and as you start to talk about some of the things I've done in my career and over the years, some of my favorite, you know, memories and things that I've been able to do, the Super Bowl for the Ravens back in 2000. I had just gotten to Baltimore at Fox 45 when they won their first Super Bowl, but really being a part of it on that second time through, and I was we were partners at Comcast Sportsnet at the time, so doing the pregame show, traveling with the team, being a part of that playoff run and seeing the wins and getting to a Super Bowl and winning the ultimate game was really a pinnacle in our profession. But I've been around a lot of awesome moments. I think the Cal Ripken moment, Camden Yards when he broke the record, stands out. And, of course, here we are at Aberdeen and at Ripken Stadium. But that is one of those moments as a young broadcaster just breaking in that 21-31 was one of the first things I ever got to cover, and still today is still one of the best things I've ever been able to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a solid list right there, and you're probably just scratching the surface. I mean, the Super Bowl coverage and Cal Ripken Street coverage, I mean, that's pretty awesome that you've been able to be a part of that on some level. So I know that you've bounced around throughout your career, talking about living near where the Delmarva Shorebirds play in Salisbury, and you spent some time in Hagerstown. but you've been in this general Baltimore area for a couple decades now, and I know now you live in the Bel Air area. So just down the road here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, and I know that you've spent some time at this ballpark before. This is your first time here this year. But just tell me about coming here in the past and the time that you've spent in this ballpark.
It's an easy drive over from Bel Air. This is home in Harford County, and this is our team as well. And I've been able to get here over the years and see a couple of games each summer. We were just talking about Jackson Holliday and his time here last year. And obviously, a lot of fans were here to see Jackson Holliday play. And it was exciting to see a young player that we knew, you know, had the abilities to get to the major leagues one day. And that's, I think, one of the great parts of minor league baseball. And I think back to Delmarva, some of the players that came through and eventually got to Baltimore ended up being at the major league level. It's really fun to see it at this level and see their maturation through the years. So this is a special place. This is one of those places that minor league baseball, and it's our home team.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to hear you talk about seeing these guys at the minor league level and then seeing them in the big leagues. That's one of my favorite parts about the job, is to see where these guys go later in their careers and establishing the friendships and the working relationships with them on this level. But before we go any further, Ironbirds fans, I'm going to let you listen to the national anthem here on the crowd mic. We are just about ready for baseball here in Aberdeen as we get set to play game 3 of 6 between the Ironbirds and the Drive. The Orioles and the Red Sox High A affiliates going at it this week in the Dean. And it's been a good series so far. These two teams have split the first two games. Michael Marcantonini and Brent Harris from WBAL and the Capital City Go-Go joining me on the broadcast tonight. Really excited to talk to Brent throughout the evening tonight. But before we go any further, let's get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup in tonight's game, Ironbirds fans. Well, Levi Wells is out on the mound for the Birds tonight, set to make his 17th start of the season. While he throws his warm-up tosses, let's go through the Birds lineup. Leandro Arias is the designated hitter in the leadoff spot. Tomas Sosa is in center field batting second. Douglas Hodo III is in left field. He's the three-hole hitter, with Jake Cunningham batting fourth in right field. Carter Young is the shortstop. He bats fifth, with Anderson De Los Santos at third base batting sixth. Anunis Mordaunt is catching in the 7-hole. Jalen Vasquez, the second baseman, bats 8th, and Noelbert Romero is the first baseman, batting 9th. So one more time, 1-9 for the Birds. It's Arias, Sosa, Hodo, Cunningham, Young, De Los Santos, Mordaunt, Vasquez, Romero behind Levi Wells. And on the flip side for the Drive, left-hander Noah Dean gets the ball. He is making his 4th appearance for the Drive, just recently promoted from Low A Salem in the Carolina League. And this is the lineup behind him. Leading off at shortstop, Justin Reamer, batting second, the designated hitter, Miguel Blase. Zach Earhart's in center field. He bats third, with Brian Gonzalez, the first baseman, in the 4-hole. Hudson White doing the catching, batting 5th. Juan Chacon, the left fielder, bats 6th. Miguel Ugueto is in right field, hitting 7th. Andy Lugo, the third baseman, slides into the 8-hole. And rounding out the lineup, batting 9th, it's the second baseman, Framy De Leon. One more time, 1-9 for the Drive. It's Reamer, Blase, Earhart, Gonzalez, White, Chacon, Ugueto, Lugo, and De Leon behind left-hander Noah Dean. Well, Levi Wells is ready to go. So are we. Brent, again, really appreciate you taking the time and looking forward to calling some ball with you.
And a great crowd tonight. We were talking before. This is sort of the end of the summer for the Harford County Public Schools. We have a ton of kids, families here filling up the ballpark tonight, as well as my youngest daughter will be here as part of that. Looking forward to this ball game.
It's a family affair tonight. First pitch from Levi Wells was in for a strike to the shortstop Justin Reamer. It's Reamer, Blaise, and Earhart. Wells recently off the injured list. This is his third start back from the IL. Misses outside there, and the count is 1-1. Reamer did not play last night, but he's back in there tonight. And like Brent said, a really nice crowd on hand tonight. Great to see everybody out at the ballpark with the Harford County ties with the local schools. So, I mean, not only are you getting a chance to see the game from up in the booth, you said your daughter's here, so it just seems like a big night at the yard for the Harris family.
We had the Teacher of the Year in Harford County throughout the first pitch. We had a couple of really nice first pitch, by the way.
Yeah.
Good arm, too, by the student who's on the council board, and she got to throw out the first pitch. She threw a strike.
Levi Wells has the count 2-2 on Reamer as the crowd starts to chant in his favor. Out of the windup, 2-2 from Wells, breaking ball just off the plate, and the count runs full. Well, I'm a huge supporter of just education in general and what, you know, the teachers do with these kids and, you know, the hard work that the kids put in. So it's great to see the schools get recognized here at the ballpark. 3-2 pitch. Hard hit ground ball out to second. Vasquez has it. Throw over to first is in time to get Reamer. And a 4-3 putout starts the night for Wells. Let's set the defense for the Ironbirds. Anunis Mordaunt is catching with Anderson De Los Santos at third. Carter Young at short. Jalen Vasquez at second. And Noelberth Romero at first. In the outfield, Douglas Hodo the third in left. Tomas Sosa in center. And Jake Cunningham in right. Here's the two-hole hitter, the designated hitter, Miguel Blaise. One up, one down for Levi Wells. A 6-2 righty in his first pro season, just 22 years old. First pitch, breaking ball, misses off the plate, counts 1-0. And in addition to all the roles that you have within the broadcast industry, Brent, you're also an adjunct professor at Towson University. So I know you appreciate the education side of things and what's going on here at the ballpark tonight with the schools.
Oh, it's great, too, in being able to teach in broadcast journalism and seeing some of the kids move on into our business, our profession, it's rewarding for sure.
Ground ball to short. Young took care of that one. So two quick ground ball outs for Levi Wells. I mean, how do you do it all? I mean, it just seems like it's got to be nonstop, go, go, go.
I keep a calendar. I keep everything color-coordinated.
Yeah, between all the different roles. You know, the radio stuff, the play-by-play with the go-go, and then, of course, the stuff with Towson, swing and a miss there, and Zach Earhart's down in the count 0-1. But I know we were talking before the game, and I was telling you about all the different things that I do. I mean, it's you got to piece it together somehow, and I know you've been fortunate enough to have the successful career for as long as you've had.
And it's all about the busy time as well. This is your busy time. You know, minor league baseball during the summer. For me, it's going to pick up in the fall with school and basketball, but it's about balancing and it does feel like this is the end of the summer coming, doesn't it? We're talking about a playoff push for the Ironbirds, talking about school coming up here in a few weeks. But it's, you know, the temperature even cooling off a little bit.
Yeah, you can feel it this week. I mean, it has not been nearly as hot and humid as it has been the last couple months. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Wells. That's outside, and the count goes to 2-2 on Earhart. Wells looking for a 1-2-3 inning. And I noticed it during the series opener. You know, I'm up here, I put the quarter zip on around the sixth or seventh inning, and I'm like, well, I haven't done that in a couple months.
It's coming.
So two balls and two strikes with two outs. No score top of the first. Next pitch, swing and a miss. A half-hearted check swing from Earhart. He went around, and Levi Wells picks up a strikeout to end a clean top of the first inning. The drive go 1-2-3. Birds will get a chance to strike first in this one. No score after a half. We'll come back after this break on MILB TV and Valley Live. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Brent Harris with you on the broadcast tonight. Another guest in the booth. The guest in the booth series continues here in Aberdeen. And Brent, it's been a really fun ride with all the guests that I've had. I've had a couple of your colleagues at WBAL join me, Ryan Leshko, who's a former Ironbirds employee, and one of my really good friends, Valerie Preactor. And it's great to have you in here in the booth tonight.
Yeah, that's my producer, Ryan Leshko, does a great job. And, of course, Valerie, our morning anchor, covering sports at BAL and doing a fantastic job as well. And I know you keep a chart on how many runs the Ironbirds score when you have a guest,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I don't know what I'm shooting for, but I'm certainly pulling for a big inning to start things off for the Ironbirds.
Swing and a miss there from the leadoff man, Leandro Arias. Switch hitter batting from the right side. Counts quickly 0-2. Left-hander Noah Dean making his first start as a member of the Drive. In three appearances out of the bullpen for the Drive after he was promoted to Greenville on July 23rd, 7 earned runs in 8 1/3 innings of work, 14 strikeouts, 9 walks, so a little bit of a rough go of it in his first go-around at high A. But he picks up a strikeout here as Arias goes down swinging on three pitches. One up, one down. Let's set the defense for the Drive. Hudson White is behind the plate. In the infield, it's Andy Lugo at third, Justin Reamer at short, Framby DeLeon at second, and Brian Gonzalez at first. In the outfield, Juan Chacon in left, Zach Earhart in center, and Miguel Ugueto in right. No score, bottom of the first inning, one out, no one on. Here is Tomas Sosa, the left-handed swinging outfielder. Dean with a slow windup, pitch misses outside, and the count is 1-0.
It's interesting with all the promotions earlier this week that all four of the new Ironbirds in the lineup here tonight, so fans getting a chance, maybe for the first time getting to see some of this young talent down the Orioles organization.
Yeah, I mean, it was seven new promotions from Delmarva up to Aberdeen since the last time the Ironbirds were home. So a lot of new faces here in the Dean, and like you said, fans still getting to know them. I mean, I'm still getting to know the guys, you know, going around during batting practice, introducing myself. Chopper back to the pitcher. Dean runs over to first, a flip to Gonzalez. It's two up, two down as Sosa is retired on the 1-3 put out. And that brings up Douglas Hodo the third. Still no score. Bottom of the first inning here in Aberdeen. Last night, the game was scoreless through five. Drive with a 4-0 shutout win. The Birds won 6-2 in the opener on Tuesday. Now Hodo trying to find a way on to avoid a 1-2-3 inning for the Birds. Slow windup again for Dean, and Hodo swings at the first pitch, gives it a ride to right. Ugueto is over, and he makes the catch. So a quick bottom of the first inning. The Birds go 1-2-3 just like the Drive did in the top half of the inning. And after a full inning of play here in Aberdeen, we are still scoreless. We'll head to the top of the second after another quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We move to the top of the second inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after an inning. Both teams went down 1-2-3 in their respective half of the first inning. Brian Gonzalez, Hudson White, and Juan Chacon, the three due up for Greenville in the top of the second. Levi Wells back to work. He looked really good in the first inning. And Brent, earlier in the first inning, we were talking about the guest in the booth runs leaderboard that I keep. So whenever I have a guest in the booth, I make sure to keep track of how many runs the Ironbirds put up when they're in the booth with me. And right now, the season high for a guest that has spent a full game with me is 12 runs. So that's what you're shooting for to get past for the top
spot.
Is
that 12 total runs, or is it 12 runs by the Ironbirds?
For the Ironbirds, so all Ironbirds run. So there's a chopper off of Wells out to third. De Los Santos picks it up, throws a little bit late to first. It's an infield single for Brian Gonzalez. So, yeah, only Ironbirds runs. And so you're looking to, you know, obviously you don't want to walk out of here getting shut out. So it's a good thing you didn't come last night. But you're looking for a win and to put up some runs and slide up that leaderboard.
12 is a lot.
Yeah.
12 is, that's a high bar. If we get 12, 13 or more, it's going to be a great night for the Ironbirds.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to predict that now.
Yeah, you'll probably walk out of here with the win as well if that happens. But, I mean, most of my guests, as that pitch is over for a strike to White, counts 0-1, most of my guests have been in the 4-7 run range. So, I mean, you don't need too many to at least get to the middle of the pack.
Yeah, the Ironbirds this year, kind of middle of the pack as far as runs scored, right? So, I would take five or six and a W, right? W first.
Yeah.
If it's a 3-2 game and I'm on the bottom of the leaderboard, I'll take it with a win.
Pitch misses outside. Runner takes off for second. The throw from Mordaunt a little bit late. A stolen base for Brian Gonzalez. And that puts a runner in scoring position for Greenville with no outs in a scoreless game. I mean, yeah, you know, if you put up the win, I think, you know, you're happy walking out of here regardless of how many runs they score. But I know Ryan and Val, I have to double-check the leaderboard, but Val's in the top five for runs scored, and she got a win. Not only that, it was a walk-off win, so that kind of keeps her a little bit up higher.
It doesn't surprise me. She brought good luck.
And I got to give her a lot of credit. She stayed through a 2-hour and 45-minute pregame rain delay to call the game with me that night. That's a true friend right there. Pitch fouled back. Counts 2-2 on White.
That is indeed no rain tonight. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous here at Ripken Stadium tonight.
Yeah, this is the kind of weather that you'll just take it any night. You know, if you could pencil this weather in for every night of the year, you know, you'd take it. It's warm, but it's not hot, which is great. 3-2, that's outside, and White walk. So that sets up first and second with no outs here in the top of the second. And one of those nights where, yeah, you may have the long sleeves on by the end of the night, but it's very comfortable sitting at the ballpark, whether you're in a broadcast booth or in the seats.
You know what looks comfortable is the crowd out at the Crab Shack.
Yeah.
The all-you-can-eat crabs tonight in this weather.
Never a bad spot.
It is packed.
I guess probably one of those nights where you can eat a little bit more than you would be able to on like a 95 and humid day. So, I mean, not as hot. You're not feeling as sluggish. Pack a couple extra crabs in there. 1-0 pitch from Wells. Fly ball to right field. Cunningham ranging back. He's at the track. He makes the grab on the track. Runner at second, Gonzalez tags. He heads to third. He makes it there without a throw. Throw in into second to keep White at first. So an out for Wells on the mound. That's huge. So one out here in the second puts runners at first and third for Ugueto.
I should point out, there is no weather situation that will slow me down when it comes to steam crabs.
Okay. And I'm sure you're not in the minority with that.
No.
So first and third, the Ironbirds keep the infielders back, looking to roll a double play to get out of it. Ugueto takes a pitch way outside, and the count is 1-0. So I'm looking at my guest in the booth runs leaderboard right now. So actually I was wrong. Val had six. I was thinking it was 7 or 8. But a walk-off win puts her at the top. Leshko sitting at 7 runs in a win. So they are both in the top 5 this season on the leaderboard.
Did you have a guest the night of the no-hitter?
I did. So he is right now only 4 runs that night, but a no-hitter immediately throws you to the top of the list.
That's so pretty special.
Yeah, that's a case where, you know, he's right at the top, even though he didn't put up as many runs as some other guests. Fly ball to left field. This one's way up there. Hodo ranges into left center. He gets behind it, makes the catch for out number 2. Here's his throw to the plate, and it's cut off by De Los Santos. Wouldn't have got there anyway. A sacrifice fly for Miguel Ugueto. Gonzalez is in to score. White stays put at first. Oguedo picks up the RBI, and it's 1-0 drive. So that's what you're up against tonight, Brent, in terms of the colleague battle at WBAL.
Well, we're not going to get a no-hitter for the Ironbirds. We know that. We're not going to get a shutout. We could get a walk-off.
Pitch from Wells to the 8-hole hitter. Andy Lugo is in for a strike, and the count is 0-1. Two down and a runner at first, top of the second. Levi Wells went two innings in his last outing, a scoreless appearance. His outing before that, one inning scoreless here on this mound. 0-1 fouled back. It's 0-2.
It's always interesting, too. Levi Wells, whose ERA is close to 7, but you're talking about a fourth-round pick last year, you know, out of Texas State, so he played college baseball. He has some experience, and clearly not the innings yet that he can build up to.
Swing and a miss there. Ball goes through Mordaunt's legs, and he's going to have to hurry to throw to first. The throw is late, so a strikeout for Wells, but the inning will continue because of the drop third strike. So runners at first and second now for Greenville. White advances to second, and Lugo safe at first.
But I always find it interesting in minor league baseball, especially some of the lower levels, like covering Delmarva for 4 or 5 years that I did, and you covering and calling the games here for the Ironbirds, that stats don't really tell the whole story,
right?
Especially for pitchers. And, you know, a kid that's picked in the fourth round, there's certainly some expectations to rise up through the minor leagues. But Wells hasn't pitched, what, more than 4 1/3 this season in any game so far this month. He's pitched really well. So a lot of times you look at the stats and you see 0-5 and a 6.9 ERA, but it really doesn't tell sort of the potential that a righty like Levi Wells has.
That's a great point to make. And a lot of times the coaching staff here in Aberdeen, the player development staff throughout the organization, they don't even look at the traditional stats like the ERA and you know, some of the numbers that are available online to anybody. They've got their own internal metrics that tell them how well a player is developing and their progress during the course of a season with their individual development plans. And for Wells, I mean, the velocity's been up, which is great. He's got some really good breaking stuff. There's a ground ball to first, handled by Romero. He steps on first base himself. And the inning is over. We'll pick up that conversation when we come back. But Levi Wells limits the damage, allows one run on a hit, no errors. Two men left on, 1-0 Greenville after 1.5. We'll head to the bottom of the second after this break on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. It's the Drive 1 and the Ironbirds nothing. Both teams went down 1-2-3 in the first. The Drive grabbed a run on a hit and a walk and then a sack fly in the second. But Levi Wells limited the damage, and here we are in the bottom of the second. Birds looking to get some runs against left-hander Noah Dean. Jake Cunningham, Carter Young, and Anderson De Los Santos do up. And Brent, we were talking before the break about, you know, some of the numbers for these guys at the minor league level, a little bit deceiving because for pitchers, one, they're not going as deep into games as maybe they did in college or as much as you'd see at the major league level. But so far, Wells, you know, he's allowed a run, a hit, and a walk, but the stuff looks pretty good.
And I like the way he got out of that jam. He had a couple on no out and was able to limit the damage to one on a sacrifice fly. So I thought his composure in a situation where he, you know, created a little bit of damage there early with the two rudders, I thought was really good.
Counts 1-1 on Cunningham, who went 3-for-3 with 3 singles and a walk on Tuesday. Takes high and away. That was his Aberdeen debut. Went 0-for-4 last night, but still a solid start to his tenure at High A. Played his college ball at the University of Charlotte and had a standout career there. Now the 2-1 pitch from Noah Dean fought off foul. It's 2-2. Well, one thing that I've noticed so far, Brent, is that his motion and his windup a lot slower than most pitchers. I mean, he takes his time in that windup getting to the plate.
That's the one thing, too, that I've noticed over the last couple of years, especially since Mike Elias took over in 2019. The way that their coaching goes from the major league level all the way down to the rookie ball, and they teach it the same way. And you'll notice that things that are important. You talked about the analytics, the spin rate, you know, what you do with your curveball, how much drop you may have on a slider, can you throw certain pitches? But your composure goes a long way in the makeup of a pitcher. These are things that the analytics department really focuses on. In a situation like that where you have trouble but get out of it, that's something that the coaches really love to see.
There's a swing and a miss from Carter Young. So Jake Cunningham down on strike, second strikeout for Dean. And now Young will look to get something going. Had the night off last night, switch hitting shortstop, batting from the left side. 6 homers, 36 driven in this year. 0-1, and talking about how the numbers don't tell the whole story with a player, I think a great example is Carter Young. You look at the season numbers, and you're not blown away, but what this guy has done consistently this year is make himself available. He leads the team in games played. He's always in there. And he playing a premium position like shortstop and doing it well. And the bat has come along here the last couple months. And even when he's making outs, this is a guy who hits the ball really hard. And these are things that the box score will not tell you all the time.
And experience. I mean, over 300 at-bats this year, and you look at a 17th round pick back in 2022, it is about just getting reps, getting to the batter's box, seeing pitches, playing every day, and that's what he's been able to do here with the Ironbirds.
Pitch misses outside. It's 2-2 on Young. Umpires in tonight's game, it's Tatum Littleton behind the plate and Brian DeBrower on the bases. Young steps back in. Looking to find a way on. 4-up, 4-down for Noah Dean so far. In his first start at High A. 2-2, just got a piece. Dean had some pretty good numbers with the low-A Salem Red Sox in the Carolina League this year before his promotion. 15 games, 13 starts. Pitched to a 3.96 ERA through 61 and a third innings. Had 86 strikeouts in that stretch and held opponents to a 1.39 batting average.
He pitched great in the Carolina League. And, you know, he's had a couple of games coming out of the bullpen for the drive.
Yeah.
This is his first start. And he didn't pitch great in those relief outings. You wonder, a guy that's a starter, if he's more comfortable coming out and starting the game fresh.
Yeah.
And that maybe that role wasn't really right for him. But here he is now in his fourth game at his first start and off to a pretty decent start here tonight.
Young pops one up, foul territory right side. That one gets into the seats. And I think that's a great point because if you're a starter and all of a sudden you're pitching out of the pen, or you're a reliever and all of a sudden you're starting, different mentality, you're not used to that routine. And I know for a lot of guys, they just prefer to know when they're going to pitch, be in that rotation, you know what they have to do each day of the week to get ready for that next start. There's the 3-2 pitch to Young. Fastball called strike three, froze him, and it's back-to-back strikeouts for Dean. That brings up Anderson De Los Santos. 1-0 Greenville here in the bottom of the second.
And look, even with a young player in a promotion from a Carolina League into the High A of the South Atlantic League, there's some nerves that go with that. You want to prove that you know, you deserve the promotion, and you're going to take that out to the first couple of games, and maybe he got that out of the way, getting his first start tonight. So far, looking pretty good.
So 5-up, 5-down for him as De Los Santos tries to break up the streak that Dean is on. De Los Santos over at third base today. Had a homer for his first high A long ball last week at Hickory. And now the 1-0 from Dean. Fastball misses inside, 2-0. Well, Dean has not been behind many hitters so far tonight. He only threw 7 pitches in the first inning.
I imagine Noah Dean is a tough look against left-handed hitters, yeah. The way he steps across his body. And so he really brings the ball from, if you're a left-handed hitter, across that hitter's eye. Obviously, even the righty's having a little trouble here tonight, but a little different delivery because he steps more towards first base as he starts his motion.
Yeah, tough night for Tomas Sosa and Jalen Vasquez, the only two traditional left-handed hitters in the Ironbirds lineup. They do have 2 switch hitters in the lineup. But, yeah, with Dean's motion, he's sort of moving towards that first base dugout and then coming back across. Misses inside there and low, 3-1. But any time a pitcher can do something to fool a hitter or keep him off balance, whether it's arm slot, delivery, release point, that goes a long way. 3-1 pitch, low and in, ball 4. So a 5-pitch walk to De Los Santos. The Ironbirds have their first base runner. And maybe now they can get something going with 2 outs.
All right, I'm feeling good. First base runner. Maybe not a hit. We still need to get a hit, but the first guy on, maybe that starts something up here.
Got to get you those runs tonight. So here is Anudis Mordaunt, who is catching for the first time as an Ironbird. He was in the lineup at first base last night. Led the Shorebirds with 13 homers before the promotion. It was tied for 4th in the Carolina League. Swing and a miss there. Went down and went over a changeup. Counts 0-1. One thing I've noticed with some of the recent promoted position players here in Aberdeen is that these guys are aggressive. You know, they're not up there. They're looking, I guess they're, what I'm trying to say is they look comfortable in the box, comfortable enough to swing early in counts, take big hacks, and that's what I've noticed.
Well, we mentioned it before, just the coaching is really the same throughout every level of the minor leagues in this Orioles organization. Yeah. And it's a huge advantage because a guy that gets promoted, it's not a big learning curve going from Delmarva to here at Aberdeen.
Yeah, there's so much cohesion at every level of the minor league system here in the O's organization. That's something that I talked to Roberto Mercado about a lot last year. He's now managing Double-A Bowie. Here's the 1-1 from Dean. Mordaunt sends one in the air right center field. Ugueto runs and gets there to make the grab. And the inning is over. So a fly out for Anudis Mordaunt. Hit it hard, but comes up empty. No runs, no hits, no errors. And one man left for the Ironbirds in the bottom of the second. We'll head to the top of the third and see if Levi Wells can keep this a 1-0 game. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the third inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Drive 1, Ironbirds nothing. The Birds put a runner on with two outs in the second, but couldn't get him home. So they trail by one as we go to the third inning. Levi Wells back to work. Top of the order for the drive, Reamer, Blase, and Earhart. First pitch of the inning from Wells is a fastball or a breaking ball that's in. Counts 0-1. Well, Brent, you mentioned it last inning. You liked what you saw from Wells to get out of that first and second no-out situation and show the composure out on the mound. And, you know, keeping his team in the game, just 1-0, and now a chance to throw up a big zero here.
See how many innings he ends up going. You mentioned it that 4 1/3 is his longest outing. He hasn't had a long outing in his last couple, even though he's pitched really well.
Yeah.
So I think it's great to see him out here in the third. Maybe he can get into the fourth inning. The first inning was a quick inning. Both pitchers on both sides really got through the first very efficiently, which definitely helps in trying to go a little deeper.
Grounded foul up the third baseline. Count stays 1-2. Wells was at 30 pitches through two innings. So a very efficient number right there. 17th start of the year. He's third on the team in starts behind Jackson Baumeister, who's no longer with the organization. He was traded to the Rays, and then Zach Fruit, who pitched last night. With two strikeouts tonight, Wells is up to 60 on the year. 1-2, fouled away. He hasn't walked a ton either, and it's really just really encouraging to see him back healthy and going deeper. So his first outing off the IL, just one inning. His last outing last week at Hickory, two innings. And then, Brent, of course, you just said good to see him back out there for the third. And there's bullpen action for the Ironbirds right now. But if Wells gets through three, I mean, I think that's a really encouraging outing as he builds himself back up from the injury. 1-2, a little bit high, counts 2-2.
It's also been a nice bounce back because his June was not very good. And so to be able to come back and pitch well July into his first couple starts into August has been, I think, a really good sign.
2-2. Breaking ball called strike three on the outer half. Strikeout number three for Wells. And that's a great way to start the top of the third. Right-hander Yaki Rivera is warming up for the Birds. So he's the guy that was thrown out there. Wells trying to get through this third. And now he has the two-hole hitter Miguel Blase. Best month of the season for Wells was May, when he posted a 3.72 ERA and had 24 strikeouts with only 8 walks. So this is a guy capable of putting together extended stretches of really good baseball. 1-0, popped up over our heads on the broadcast level. Counts 1-1.
So we have the Greenville Drive, which is, of course, the Boston Red Sox affiliate, and the Boston Red Sox in town just down the road at Camden Yards.
It's always nice when it lines up that way. Yeah. You got the minor league affiliates and the big league teams playing each other. Big series for the Orioles, as pretty much every series is the rest of this way. The Red Sox are hanging in there in the playoff race, trying to grab a wild card spot.
Yeah, Red Sox have played really good baseball over the last month or so, kind of put themselves back into the wild card race.
2-1 in for a strike from Wells.
And good news at Camden Yards, Orioles up 2-1 in the fourth. And Gunnar Henderson, another home run, two-run shot.
31 now?
31 on the season.
That dude's fun to watch.
Went through a little drought there, but he has broken out of it.
Ooh, Wells just plunked Blase in the back. I'd say in between the numbers, but he's got a single-digit number, so in the middle of the number. That puts a runner on base with one out here in the third. Still 1-0 Greenville. Wells looking to keep it that way. It's got to be really exciting for you covering this Orioles team in the way that you do, doing the pregame stuff for WBAL. And also just, you know, living in the area, supporting the team. But after all the years of, you know, some rough seasons, a lot of losses piling up. Now it's flipped where they're winning 100 games a year instead of losing 100 games.
I mean, I'm fortunate that the team I grew up rooting for and loving is the team that I get to cover.
Yeah.
Right? I grew up in Baltimore, always have been an Oriole fan. And to be able to be there and to cover the team, it's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, to go through those years where they were losing 100-plus games, I think it's a lot more gratifying.
Blaze takes off for second. Throw down was on the money from Mordan, but the quick snap tag from Vasquez, ball went in and out of his glove. So a stolen base for Blaze. And that puts a runner at second with one down.
I think there's a lot more, I think, maybe gratitude as a fan when you've been through the tough times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mentioned to you my oldest daughter goes to Alabama now. She stepped right into a team that plays for national championships every year, and I feel weird to some degree, until you write the check for tuition, to some degree cheering for a team and rooting for a team that's always been great. And I do think those years of tough times builds character even for fans. It certainly has for the team. I mean, some of the players that the Orioles have that have been through it, like Cedric Mullins or Ryan Mountcastle, you can tell that it's really helped in the development of the team overall.
Hot shot through the hole between short and third. Blaze at second had to hold up, but he gets to third. And it's a base hit for Zach Earhart. That puts runners at first and third with one out. And now Felipe Rojas Alou Jr. out of the dugout. And it looks like he's going to take the baseball from Levi Wells. So 2 1/3 for Wells tonight as the entire Ironbirds infield gathers on the mound. But Felipe is going to go to Yaki Rivera right here. But another encouraging outing for Wells in a sense that he continues to go deeper in his third outing back from the injured list. And the stuff looked good, just leaves with the line score maybe not looking so great, but like we've talked about, that doesn't always tell the whole story. So Wells is done after 2 1/3. His line is not closed. He's responsible for both runners on base. And while Yaki Rivera warms up, well, give us some extra time to talk. And Brent, you were talking about how you're getting a chance to cover the team you grew up rooting for in the Orioles. And I think that's been a common theme with the guests that I've had in the booth this year, the ones with ties to the Baltimore media scene. They're Baltimore area people, and now they're getting to cover the team that they grew up watching and loving. For you, as a broadcaster, a reporter, working in the media and being on that side of it now, what's the most fulfilling or enjoyable part about covering the team that you used to, you know, watch and go see the games and all that as a kid?
I think it's the attachment to the team because of the years that you have followed it, the years you've put into it. Of course, you understand the history because you've lived it.
Yeah.
And that's a big advantage as a broadcaster to have been around the sport, the teams, this town, to be honest. And look, I still remember where I was sitting when Cal Ripken squeezed the final out in the 83 World Series. Mm-hmm. I know you're a Philly guy, so sorry to bring it up, but it's those moments that, you know, sort of carry through. So, you know, when you get to this point where you're now covering it for your job, sometimes it doesn't feel like work,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there's some days we come to the ballpark and it just feels more fun than it feels like you're punching a time clock, right?
Yeah.
It does not feel like, it doesn't feel like work, and that's a good thing. So, you know, over the years, being in the same town you grew up in and being able to cover these teams, and it's pretty awesome.
So here's Yaki Rivera, the young right-hander from the Dominican Republic. Inherits a first and third jam with one out. First pitch sweeper is in for a strike to Brian Gonzalez, the right-handed hitting first baseman. He singled and scored the drive's only run in the second. It's the drive one and the Ironbirds nothing top of the third. Double play ball would get the Birds out of it. Next pitch, ground ball to third. De Los Santos has it to second for one, over to first, not in time. Well, there is that ground ball I just talked about. The Birds get the middle runner there, but Blaze is in to score from third, and Gonzalez safe at first on the fielder's choice. Well, Brent, you mentioned that 1983 World Series, Orioles over Phillies. Now, I am a Philly guy. I wasn't around quite yet.
Oh, I took you too far back.
But so that one, you know, that doesn't really sting for me, but I know it does for my dad, for sure. Diehard Phillies fan his whole life.
Well, you let him know that I brought it up tonight. still one that we cherish, right? That it's been a while, and that's what's exciting about this team that the Orioles have built, not just for this year, but you look over the next 5-10 years with all the young talent they already have at the major league level and all the young talent all the way down the minor league levels as well.
Move over to first. And runner back safely. Two outs here in the top of the third. Birds down 2-0. And you talk about still cherishing and savoring that World Series win from 1983. I mean, it's been a while, but Yeah, when you grow up in a city or town, here's a ground ball to short. Young has it. Off-balance throw to first. In time, inning over. We'll pick up that conversation when we come back, but Yaki Rivera does a nice job, faces two batters, gets them both out. An inherited runner scores, so that run charged to Wells. So 2-0 drive after 2.5. Bottom three next on MILB TV and Bally Live. Ironbirds down 2-0 as we go to the home half of the third. Jalen Vasquez, Noelbert Romero, and Leandro Arias, 8-9-1 due up against the left-hander Noah Dean, who's allowed just one base runner through two shutout innings. Dean at just 28 pitches so far. His first pitch of the third is in for a strike. And Brent, before we went to break, I started talking about how, you know, as an Orioles fan and, you know, the people in Baltimore that are a part of Birdland, you know, still cherishing that 1983 championship. And I think it's, I mean, of course, anybody would like to be a part of, you know, a city where their teams are consistently winning championships. You talked about your daughter at Alabama, doesn't really know what losing is down there. But I think when, you know, you don't win every year and it's a while in between championships, you do appreciate it more. And, you know, I think the memories of those years mean more.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, some really tough years for Oriole fans. And when Mike Elias got here and laid out his plan and said, it's going to be tough for a couple of years, but we have a plan, I think Oriole fans really bought into it. Like, the years that they had 100-plus losses, it didn't affect the fans as much because they realized the right guy was in place to build something special. And the drafts and the Adley Rushmans and Gunnar Hendersons and even to the Jackson Holidays pick to, you know, first overall, there's a tremendous foundation. So those last couple of years were not as tough, even though they were losing, because I think fans, for the most part in this town, felt like there was something special coming up.
No doubt. Vasquez down on strikes. That brings up Noelbert Romero. Birds down 2-0, bottom three. And I think because the fans bought into the plan, they started paying attention to what was happening at the minor league level even before the guys that are stars at the big league level became household names in the minors. So, and I love it because but when I got here to Aberdeen, I found out pretty quickly just following people on Twitter and just seeing my news feed on all the apps. Like, people that are Orioles fans care about what's happening at the minor league level, and that's what's made my job so fun, is because I know people out there are not just paying attention to the Orioles, they're paying attention to the Ironbirds and the other affiliates.
And they have, for sure, over the last 5-6 years, because of all the big draft picks and that they have stockpiled all through the minor league system.
Fly ball down the right field line, hooking foul.
But the fact that you have Aberdeen and you have Bowie close by makes it easy to be able to go see them in person.
Yeah.
Norfolk is a little bit further, so you're not going to go get to see AAA baseball like you would here in Aberdeen or with the Bowie Bay Sox. But a lot of great players are here at these teams that are close by. Even to Delmarva, I know a lot of people go down to the beach in the summer and will stop by to see a game or two on the way. So you're right. The interest in minor league baseball is huge. We talk about it a lot on our radio show. Fans understand that a lot of the future is still down here in the minor leagues.
Here's a 3-1 pitch to Romero. That's a called strike. Looked a little bit low. Romero looked surprised at the call, and the count is full with one out. After Romero, it's back to the top. And also with Aberdeen being so close to Baltimore, you know, 45 minutes on a good day, we often have a lot of at least minor league players rehabbing here, but often sometimes you get major league rehabbers coming through. And it's fun for fans to see these guys at this level, in this setting, not just always with the big league team.
Yeah, I remember in covering the Delmarva Shorebirds, which was the mid to late 90s, and having some, rehab assignments come through. It was always exciting to see big names, even if it was for 2, 3, 4 games. And it always drew a lot of fans because for us on the Eastern Shore, it was as close as you were going to get sometimes to seeing Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah.
That not all the fans over in Salisbury are going to make the drive into Baltimore, but they support the Shorebirds. And certainly when a big name comes, it's a special moment.
3-2 pitch coming up to Noelberth Romero. Here it is. Line drive to left, but right at Juan Chacon. That one looked like it knuckled a little bit in the air. Chacon made the grab around his shoe tops. And it's 2-up, 2-down. So one time through the order for Dean. He retired 8 of the 9 batters with 4 strikeouts. And now back to the top for Leandro Arias. Birds down a couple. Got to get these bats going, Brent.
Need a base hit. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I did play on this field at one time. This is about 15 years ago or so, the Ripken Experience.
Yep.
I batted just over 700, led the league. So I don't know if Felipe Alou is looking for maybe a pitch hitter late in the game, but I've had some success here at Ripken Stadium.
You're here, you're well-rested.
I'm well-rested. I got 15 years of rest.
Good numbers in this ballpark as that pitch got a piece of Arias.
It should be mentioned I was about 15 or 20 years younger than all the other people at the Ripken Experience that year.
So a runner at first with 2 down. Arias takes off the protective gear, and he'll head down there. So there's another base runner still looking for that first hit. Tomas Sosa. Well, my brother had a chance to play in a Ripken Experience tournament when he was, I can't remember how old he was, maybe 12, 13. So he's playing at the complex across the street. And this was well before I became the voice of the Ironbirds. So I'm down here. My family and I were spending the weekend in Aberdeen watching his games. And I got to play in a Ripken tournament when I was growing up as well. And I was a little bit older. I was, I guess, maybe late middle school, early high school at the time. And was supposed to play a game on this field during the tournament with the team that I was a part of. A 1 pitch coming up to Tomas Sosa, but first a move over to first, and Arias is back. But the weekend that we were down here for the tournament, a ton of rain. It wiped out a full day of games for the tournament, so they had to reshuffle the schedule and what fields that everybody was playing on, and my team got bumped off this field. We ended up playing over at Harford Community College. You know, nothing wrong with that field, but it's would have been really cool to play here, sure. But didn't get the chance to do it. 0-1, and
I would even say playing on the main field across the street with that backdrop like Camden Yards,
that would be cool.
One of the more just exciting places to be able to play a baseball game. At Harford County, they have the championship game over there as well. So, you do have a beautiful facility just across the street.
Counts 2-1 now on Sosa. Good eye there on that breaking ball low and away. And so I can smile about it now and laugh about it because now I get to call games here, and I've been doing it for a while, but didn't get to play on the field. But, sometimes I'm out there, like today I was shagging BP with the guys, just getting to play on the field, but not in a game scenario. 2-1 pitch. Sosa went after a high fastball, swing and a miss.
Sure, too. When you were younger, this field probably looked massive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to play on a minor league field one time. Played on the Wilmington Blue Rocks field at that ballpark. Played a junior legion game there. But never got that chance to play on this diamond.
When we did the Ripken Experience, it was cool because we had a couple of games here, and then we took a bus trip to Atlantic City and played on their minor league field a couple of games before coming back to finish out the week.
Here's the 2-2 from Dean to Sosa outside. That's a good take there from Tomas Sosa, and the count's full. So now Arias will be off on the pitch from first base. 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs.
Matter of fact, B.J. Surhoff was our manager for our team during the Ripken Experience, and he was not very happy, I think, with me and a couple other players in Atlantic City. As you can imagine, curfew was an issue.
Yeah, swing and a miss there on 3-2. Well, we're going to have to pick up with that conversation when we come back. I think that there's more to unpack there. But the inning is over. The Birds threaten with a runner with 2 outs, but that is it. Another strikeout for Dean after 3 full in Aberdeen. The Birds still trail 2-0. We'll head to the fourth next on the Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the fourth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Greenville 2, Aberdeen nothing. Right-hander Nestor Herman is the new pitcher for the Birds. He gets Juan Chacon, Miguel Ugueto, and Andy Lugo. Herman just recently up from Loe Delmarva. His first pitch of the night is a fastball right down the chute. And the count is 0-1. Yaki Rivera went 2/3 of an inning, retired both batters that he faced in relief of Levi Wells, who went 2 1/3. Gave up 2 runs on 2 hits with 3 strikeouts and a walk. 0-1 from Herman, misses low and away. Well, Brent, we've talked a lot about a lot of the new faces here in Aberdeen and how it's a very new-look roster over the last few weeks. I mean, Nestor Herman is a really intriguing prospect to keep an eye on. Just 22 years old, big frame, stands 6 feet 3 inches tall, and he has done nothing but get outs this season, whether it was the bulk of his year at Delmarva, but now here in Aberdeen. This is a guy to keep an eye on, underrated piece in this system.
Not only a low ERA at 1.52 this year, but his whip under 1, and that is one of the stats that I always look at first.
Yeah.
Because even though you may be able to keep runs off the board, you don't want to see a lot of base runners and walks. And I know even for this team this year, walks has been an issue for the Ironbirds. So you get a guy with a whip under 1, that's a strong stat to look at.
2-2 pitch upstairs counts full on Chacon. So, yeah, less than 1 walk and hit per inning pitched. I mean, that's elite right there. Holds the glove in front of his face, shielding the ball. Big 3-2 pitch here to the leadoff man, Chacon. Here it is. Got him with a breaking ball low and away. Pitch in the dirt. And Mordan doesn't even have to throw down to first because Chacon was headed back to the dugout. So a strikeout for Nestor Herman. Strong numbers for him in Delmarva. 15 appearances, 12 starts for the Shorebirds. Posted a 1.43 ERA, 15 1/3 innings of work. Struck out 59, walked just 14. He had a 30% K rate down with the Shorebirds and held opponents to a 1.73 batting average and a 4.27 OPS. Pitch misses outside there to Ugueto. Counts 1-0. Birds down 2-0. Now the 1-0 fouled away. How about this stat from Herman? In his 15 appearances for the Shorebirds this year, he did not allow a home run and only allowed 31 hits in 50 and a third innings of work. He had 7 outings in which he went 2-plus innings and didn't allow a run. So, just as consistent as it gets.
Not giving up the long ball. I love that stat. I mean, the whip and the long bar, too. Man, keep the ball in the ballpark. Allow your defense to play behind you. And just not making a lot of mistakes is what it says.
You can live with giving up a couple of base hits here and there if one, you're not walking guys, and two, yeah, like you said, keeping the ball in the park. Here's a chopper out to short, but the third baseman, De Los Santos, cuts it off. Strong throw to first in time to get Ugueto. Two up, two down for Herman. And this is a guy that just puts in work. When he was at Seattle University, where he played his college ball, he was a 2-time winner of the Jake Taylor Award as the hardest working player in Seattle U's program. And that's an award voted on by the players on the team. He won that in 2022 and 2023. And then was drafted last summer. Liner to right at Cunningham. And the inning is over. A quick 1-2-3 inning for Nestor Herman. He looks really good. And he continues to just get outs and get them quickly. A good shutdown inning for the Birds, still 2-0 after 3.5. Bottom of the fourth coming up next. Stay locked in with us on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Douglas Hodo III leads off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Ironbirds, who trail the Greenville Drive 2-0. Michael Marcantonini and Brent Harris with you on the broadcast tonight. Brent, my guest in the booth, the first of four straight guests that I have coming on the broadcast the rest of this series, so keep an eye out for that. First pitch strike to Hodo, and the count is 0-1. We got to get you some runs, Brent. Got to get that first hit out of the way first, though.
I don't think any of your guests have been no-hit gone the wrong way this year.
No. I mean, we had that no-hitter back on July 19th was the good kind of no-hitter in this ballpark, and the Ironbirds combined for the third in franchise history. But got to get that first one in the hit column.
Noah Dean has been tough tonight.
Dean has faced 11 batters to this point in the game. He's retired 9 of them. A walk and a hit by pitch. That's it. Dean ready with the 0-2 to Hodo. Swing and a miss on the fastball. And that is his 6th punch out of the game already. So he's having his way tonight. I mean, we talked about the strikeout numbers earlier, 86 and 61 and a third down in low A before the promotion. And now getting a chance to start after three appearances in the bullpen, he does go deep into games. He went four more innings 12 times in his first 18 outings of the year. Now through three and a third. Here's Jake Cunningham, fouls one away. Counts 0-1. So, Brent, earlier you were talking about your time playing in the Ripken experience, and B.J. Surhoff was your coach?
He was the manager, and yeah. I got to tell you, he was as intense as a manager at the Ripken experience, which is supposed to be a lot of fun, and he was all about winning,
yeah,
doing it the right way. All the teams were drafted, and Billy Ripken's there, and some former ex-Orioles are in the clubhouse, and all the other teams are in the quarters as they got drafted to each coach.
Tapper to the right side. Who wants it? It's in between first and second. Flip to first. Cunningham beat it. An infield single for Jake Cunningham. The second baseman, De Leon, flip to the pitcher, Dean. And there we go. The Ironbirds are in the hit column. Jake Cunningham legs out an infield single.
And so all the other teams, they're all having some adult beverages,
yeah,
telling stories, enjoying the moment. B.J. Surhoff has us in the corner. We're going over different relays and signs. What's the expectations over the next couple of days? And he says, we're going to win it all. Like, it was – he was as intense, I think, as he was in his playing days. And great guy. I love B.J. Surhoff. And we did get to the championship. And we lost in the final game, in the final inning, on a throwing error by the third baseman, who – happened to be me. So despite the fact that I hit over 700 and had a really good couple of days, in the end, though, it was the glove, the defense that let me down. Mm. So not the all-around player that B.J. Surhoff was hoping to have.
Yeah, we'll focus on what you did with the bat, for sure. I mean, that's a pretty nice, nice weekend at the yard, hitting over 700. Any home runs?
Not over the fence, but I did get to the fence. Like I was saying, you talked about maybe playing here as a kid. You're looking out. It's a big ballpark.
Yeah.
It's a big ballpark as an adult. You go down there into the batter's box. You look up. You go, yeah, 404 to center.
Runner takes off for second. Pitch gets away. So Cunningham stays put. That one got past the catcher White. So a runner at second for the Birds with Carter Young in the box. Birds looking to get on the scoreboard. It's 2-0 Greenville.
We're talking about a lot of the team's speed. And even with a promotion earlier this week and so many stolen bases among the players that moved up to Double-A Bowie.
Inside on Young, and that got a piece of him.
You can see they're still aggressive in taking bases and pressing the issue out on the base paths.
Bob Kipper, the Greenville pitching coach, out to chat with Dean and the catcher White. And I'm glad you brought that up because it is really just an organizational philosophy at this point. It's not we're going to steal with these set of guys and these are the guys that are going to run, and when they go up, well, that's not our game anymore. Doesn't matter who's on this roster. It's a roster littered with just athletic baseball players. And the coaching staff here in Aberdeen done such a nice job of not only helping these guys become better base runners, but giving them the confidence to go and make their own decisions to go in any situation where they see fit.
Bradfield, Josenberger, and Trimble, the three of those who are promoted to Double-A Bowie, I think over 140 steals for those three.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of speed that just went to the next team up the ladder. But, again, you can see the philosophy that they're still going to put some pressure on the pitcher and try to take the extra bag.
Jake Cunningham's at second. Carter Young's at first. Here's Anderson De Los Santos. He represents the go-ahead run, takes a strike. Well, Cunningham stole second, and that was the Ironbirds' 315th stolen base of the season. They set a new regular season team stolen base record in the StatCast era last night with their 314th of the year, and they did that in just 110 games. They've got a legitimate shot to break the unofficial overall minor league record of 360 set back in 1988. See what De Los Santos can do with the bat here. Dean looks at it second, in trouble for the first time tonight. 0-1 in for a strike. It's 0-2. Talking about the stolen base numbers for the three guys that just went up to double A with Bradfield, Josenberger, and Trimble. Overall this season, 20 different Ironbirds have stolen at least one base, and 7 different players have at least 20. Both runners take off here. Swing and a miss. Throw down to third is late. It's a double steal for the Birds. And, well, that's how it happens. You know, consistent double steals, and they add up. 3 stolen bases for the Birds so far tonight.
And all of a sudden, because of the aggressive base running, the Ironbirds have a couple of runners in scoring position with 2 outs and a base hit. Anything into the outfield here, you get one down, you could score a couple and tie the ball game. So I think important that they have been aggressive.
Here's Anudis Mordaunt looking for his first high A hit. Slashes one foul onto the concourse right side. Counts 0-1.
Yeah, Enrique Bradfield Jr., I think a lot of Oriole fans excited about the prospect of him leading off one day Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Because of the speed, the defense in center field. He was amazing here with Aberdeen.
0-1, Mordaunt grounds one to third. Lugo stays back on it, throws to first, and it's in time, inning over. So the Birds get a couple in scoring position with 2 outs, but they don't get them home. 2-0 Greenville through 4. We'll head to the top of the 5th. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410. Top of the 5th inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds still trail the Greenville Drive 2-0, but the Birds got their first hit in the bottom of the 4th. They got 2 runners into scoring position. So, Brent, we're just chipping away here a little bit. We got that first hit out of the way, and now we're looking to just get you some runs.
Put a little scare into the drive there with 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
Chance to get a couple of runs, and they got out of it, but I think they're thinking about those Birds' bats getting hot.
Nestor Herman back to work after a quick 1-2-3 fourth. First pitch to the 9-hole hitter, Framie De Leon misses low. And the count is quickly 1-0. De Leon then back to the top for Reamer and Blaise. Herman has been so good this season. Off to a great start in his first go-around at high A. 1-0 fouled back. It's 1-1. Well, I know your one daughter's here at the game tonight, Brent, but do you have anybody else in the fam tuned in to hear you on the broadcast tonight?
Everybody's busy. You know how family is.
Yeah.
They have a lot to do. And my daughter that is here was even struggling to find me up in the press box. She's looking up, trying to figure out where exactly is Dad, which usually means they're probably doing something they shouldn't. But...
Counts 1-2. Next pitch to De Leon, swing and a miss, gassed him up with the fastball, and Herman has his second strikeout, four up, four down. Back to the top for Reamer. Oh, some heat right there.
Yeah, I really like Herman. I mean, terrific delivery and boy, a lot of composure. Good fastball. We've seen the breaking stuff as well.
First pitch to Reamer, a swing and a miss. A lot of swings and misses. He has racked up plenty of those this year. And he's just getting the baseball and firing it. Not wasting any time in between pitches. 0-1 skipped in the dirt, counts 1-1. So, Brent, you've had a bunch of different stops throughout your broadcast career. And like we've talked about, you've done a bunch of different stuff. Radio, TV, play-by-play. Who are some of your biggest mentors throughout your career? The people that have helped get you to where you are and to keep you going?
You know, it's interesting. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were at an event. Mark Viviato, the longtime sportscaster over at Channel 13, he was at BAL a long time before that, CNNSI for a bit, his retirement party. And one thing that kind of struck, and looking around the room,
liner to first, caught by Romero, two outs.
Scott Garceau was there. Jerry Sandusky was there. The sportscasters that have come, not necessarily from Baltimore, but come to Baltimore to work, have all stayed.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot about the city, that they have fallen in love with this city and raised families here and had long careers. Not a lot of other cities, especially in the TV business, can say that. So over the years, you know, Bruce Cunningham at Fox 45, you know, Mark Viviato, over the years, just being able to be around those guys, Jerry Sandusky now at WBAL, you know, to learn from them, right, to see it up close.
Yeah.
And that, to me.
You got Siri going off on your computer
yeah,
there.
That, to me, is priceless. I just think as a young person trying to break into the business, that all those sportscasters in this town all kind of took some interest in and helped at some point along the way. So a lot of people that that I certainly, you know, think about early on in my career. And but this is just a special town, that when you think about the people that have covered sports in this town, that we have had the same ones for a long time.
Yeah. Here's the 2-1 pitch from Herman to Blaise, swinging a foul tip. It's 2-2, and that's one thing that I've noticed in my short time in this in the greater Baltimore area here in Aberdeen, covering and calling games for one of the Orioles minor league teams. It's a very tight-knit community, not just the fan base, but also the media members that cover the Orioles and the Ravens, and whether even if they're not in sports and they're in news or entertainment, but it seems like everybody knows everybody, and everyone's willing to help everybody.
And it is, I'll go back to, I know up in Philly, a little different than what the media landscape is
yeah,
up there. No, they, you know, the people here get along, and it's still competitive as far as, you know, trying to break stories and covering the teams. But at the same time, well, there's a lot of respect. And, you know, from the writers to the radio broadcasters to the TV sports broadcasters, it's a great bunch of people. For sure.
3-2-2 out pitch. Up in the air, deep left field. Hodo ranging back. He is just shy of the track, and he makes the catch. And the inning is over. It's a hard hit ball. Gave it a ride, but Blaise is retired. And it's another 1-2-3 inning for Nestor Herman. Six up, six down for the tall righty out of the pen. And he throws up a much-needed zero. Bird's still down 2-0. We'll go to the home half of the fifth. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day, presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds, starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at GoIronbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day, presented by the Macaroni Kid, Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival, with on-field games, live music, a kids' zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night. If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information. We move to the home half of the fifth inning here in Aberdeen. Birds looking for some runs. Just one hit on the board. They trail Greenville 2-0. It's Vasquez, Romero, and Arias. 8-9-1 due up against a new arm for the drive. They'll go from a lefty to a righty. Noah Dean is done after four innings, and now it's Jedickson Paez. Right-hander is in, and he misses to Vasquez with the first pitch of the inning. We'll get you the final line on Noah Dean. He was really good tonight. Four innings, one hit, no runs. Struck out seven and walked just one. 64 pitches, 39 strikes. And now Paez takes over. 1-0 to Vasquez, swing and a miss. Bird's only hit is a Jake Cunningham infield single last inning. Now they'll have to do it against the bullpen. Birds got shut out last night 4-0, looking to avoid back-to-back shutout losses. It's still early, just in the middle innings, as Paez readies the 2-1 to Vasquez. Here it is, outside 3-1. A leadoff base runner would be huge here, Brent.
I don't think we've gotten a leadoff, have we? Maybe Cunningham, was that?
No leadoff base runners. Cunningham was one out.
Yep.
3-1, Vasquez drops a bunt up the third baseline. It's a good one. Paez fields it, throws to first, but it's late. A bunt base hit for Jalen Vasquez, and right on cue, the Ironbirds have their first leadoff man on tonight.
That is a smart play because Paez just comes into the ball game. The bunt is between what would be the third baseman coming in and the pitcher. It really forces the pitcher to come off the mound to make the play just into the ball game.
Yeah.
That is a tough play to make. As you just enter the game.
Jalen recognized that the third baseman Lugo was deep as well. First pitch to Noelberth Romero, misses inside, counts 1-0. Romero's bounced all around the minor league system this year. He was with the AA squad in Bowie last week, and Bowie had a doubleheader one day. Romero hit a walk-off in both games of the doubleheader with the Bowie Bay Sox last week. I mean, that is just something that's extremely hard to do. 1-0 pitch. Vasquez takes off for second. Throw down is right on the money, and he is thrown out trying to get into scoring position. So Vasquez caught stealing. A good throw from Hudson White.
That's a day to remember.
Yeah, two walk-offs in one day. 2 7-inning games. I mean, to come up in a situation where you're in a position to walk it off twice. I mean, just things just had to line up for him. But a walk-off homer in the first game, and then he hit one deep to the warning track for a walk-off base hit in the second game. Pretty special. Talking to Noelberth about that on Tuesday during batting practice, and he said that it really wasn't until he was about to go to bed that night that he's laying down in bed. He's like, man, like, did I just do that? Two walk-offs in one day?
Got to think, too. You go to a new ball club, they're like, thanks for stopping by. Yeah. Appreciate you lending a hand.
Yeah.
And being the game-winning hit in both games.
Counts 3-2 on Romero. He's one of the most fun guys to be around. He just has a contagious personality.
Got to imagine when the next call-up happens that the guys up at Bowie are going to be excited to see him.
Yeah. Get him in another walk-off situation. He's got that clutch gene. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Next pitch, swing and a miss. Well, and I've talked about it before, but Romero, of course, a native Spanish speaker from Venezuela. But he learned English. He started learning English when he was in the Red Sox organization, came over the O's in a trade, and now he's at a point where he's bilingual. And, of course, there's still some stuff that he's not quite comfortable with in English, but just the fact that he's joking around with the guys speaking English regularly, I mean, that's so cool to see. Not just the progress that these guys make as players, but just as people and assimilating to a new culture.
Hey, the Orioles have really made an investment into the international pool and a lot of signings over the last couple of years. And, of course, they've started out rookie ball and at Delmarva, of course, Aberdeen here as well. So we've seen a real influx of players out of the Dominican Republic, out of Venezuela, because of the new complex, because of the money, the resources that the Orioles, Mike Elias, part of what he said in 2019 was they were going to sign international players. They were going to have a bigger presence. And we see it here at Aberdeen. You see it down in Delmarva as well.
Two gone, no one on. Counts 1-1 on Leandro Arias. Bird's down 2, and there's a pitch timer violation on Paez. So an automatic ball.
Hey, the Ironbirds will take them any way they can get them right now.
Yeah.
A couple of pitching violations. Rattle the pitcher a little bit.
Here's the 2-1 inside. Did that get a piece of Arias? No signal. Well, he
thought it hit his foot.
Yeah, it got him. Well, now the home plate umpire, Tatum Littleton, saying it didn't get him. And he's stunned. Now Felipe is going to come over and chat. Now the two umpires will get together. I thought for sure it got him. Just based off the way he reacted and the way the ball then ricocheted.
And they'll give him first. But it's the redirection of the ball. That's what is the giveaway.
Yeah.
He tried to get out of the way, but that was way inside.
Second time that Arias has been hit by a pitch tonight. He's reached base safely 6 times in his first 3 games at high A. Brings up Tomas Sosa, still looking for that first high A hit. Talking about that academy in the Dominican Republic, I mean, it's state-of-the-art. One of the newer academies among all 30 big league teams. They've done such a good job with it in finding talent internationally.
And that's a huge advantage down in the Dominican to have not just the presence, but the best facility, the great coaching, everything that goes with it. Players will gravitate to it down there.
Well, one, that's outside. And, I mean, look, you're competing with 29 other clubs to sign these players. And a lot of guys are going to have multiple offers. What stands out about one organization over the other?
You're also signing a lot of these players pretty early.
Yeah.
Maybe 16, 17 years old. Sosa, 19 years old. And so you're a big part of their development.
1-1 pitch coming up to Sosa. Paez to the plate, and he missed low and in. So it counts 2-1. Birds have had 6 base runners tonight. 3 players have been hit by a pitch, 2 singles and a walk. They haven't been able to string much together in the same inning, though. That's over for a strike 2-2.
You could also see Sosa, we said 19 years old, 6'3", but only 160 pounds, that you have a real big frame there to put some muscle and weight on.
Yeah.
Could be a real power-hitting left-hander.
2-2, and there's his first high A hit. In between first and second into right field. Arias is around second, heading for third. Throw goes into second, and the Birds have runners at the corners with 2 down here in the 5th. Nice piece of hitting right there. Took that one to the poolside, found a hole. It all started with a 2-out hit by pitch, and now Hodo comes to bat with the tying run at first. It was Hodo who swiped second in the 5th inning last night to give the Birds their record-breaking stolen base. First pitch is in for a strike, and I mentioned it earlier. The Birds now have the most regular season stolen bases of any team ever in the StatCast era. And they are gunning for the all-time unofficial minor league record. 0-1. Softly hit ground ball to short. An underhand flip to second, and the inning is over. 6-4 on the fielder's choice. Well, the Birds threatened. Sosa picks up his first high A hit, but that's how the inning comes to an end. No runs on two hits, no errors, and a couple of men left on. We'll head to the top of the sixth. Birds still down 2-0. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Valley Live. Nothing Greenville over Aberdeen, top of the sixth inning, as right-hander Nestor Herman goes back to work. Herman has gone 6 up, 6 down. He's looked really good so far, and he has a couple of strikeouts. Working quickly, he gets Erhard, Gonzalez, and White, 3-4-5 for Greenville. Birds had a couple of hits in that bottom of the fifth, but Jalen Vasquez was caught stealing. Birds had runners at first and third with two down, but didn't score. First pitch of the inning is a strike to Erhard. Counts 0-1. Well, Herman continues to get ahead of hitters as he waits for the sign from Mordan. 0-1 in for a strike, 0-2. So, Brent, what does your daily and weekly schedule look like throughout the season? I know you're working a handful of different gigs. Let's start with, I guess, the busier time of year when the basketball season's going on and the colleges are back in session when you've got the Capital City Go-Go stuff, and then, you know, you're teaching at Towson, then WBAL on top of that. So what's that time of year like?
So a lot of it is, as you know, getting ready for a play-by-play game is all about the prep time. It's about reading and stats and what kind of stories you might tell and then being up on the team that you're going to play. So a lot of that time is spent at home, in the office, kind of getting the boards ready and just getting ready for a game. During the week, a couple of days a week, I'm on campus and teaching, but that's in the morning, which is nice because it gives you the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And then WBAL, during the week at night, we have our sports talk shows. And then on the weekends, whether it's Orioles this time of year or Ravens coming up this fall, it's busy. But as you know, in sports, your schedule is all over the place.
And sure.
You just work the days that it says you're supposed to show up at work. And if you happen to get a day off somewhere in there, you take advantage of it.
Herman just picked up another strike. And now he gets Brian Gonzalez. Pitch misses low and away. 7 up, 7 down for Herman. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's either game day or non-game day throughout the season, you know? Like, the days of the week just kind of don't really matter during a baseball season. Mondays are off days. Then you play 6 Tuesday through Sunday. 1-0 outside, it's 2-0. So the summertime is, I guess, more of your downtime.
It is.
Where it's just WBAL because, you know, the basketball season's not starting yet and then school's out.
Watch a few summer league games when you get the out in Vegas, the Wizards, and A lot of those players, of course, will be with the team in the G League this coming up season. But for the most part, the summers are time for maybe getting to the golf course, maybe the beach. I know you like the beach.
Yeah.
Spending some family time. Kids are at home.
2-1 from Ehrman, fouled away.
Once you have kids that go off to college as well, getting a little bit of time during the summer is nice.
Because
you don't see them for about 9 months. Pop in for a holiday, but that's about it. And so, yeah, I enjoy the summers and getting down to the ballpark, seeing some Orioles baseball.
Ehrman looking for another strikeout. Three already. Here's his 2-2 to Gonzalez. Fly ball to right field. A hard hit ball. Cunningham's back. Makes the catch on the run. And Herman's retired all eight that he's faced tonight.
And it's funny, you do this every night. You've got these six-game series. But we were just talking that, you know, you still look forward to going down to see an Orioles game, right,
yeah,
as a fan. Because you don't really get to do it that often as a fan. To sit in the stands and kind of soak up the atmosphere and, you know, watch baseball or whatever sport it is. But I'm the same way. I don't get a lot of opportunities to do it as a fan. So when they come about, you got to take advantage.
Yeah, I really appreciate any opportunity I get to just sit and watch a baseball game, whether it's going down to an Orioles game or, you know, popping in at another minor league game or a college baseball game. But it's much different. Sometimes you just don't know what to do with yourself when you're just sitting watching a game instead of working it. Counts 0-2 on Hudson White. Ehrman looking for another 1-2-3 inning. See if he can pick up this strikeout on three pitches here. Out of the windup, ready to go. Next pitch, breaking ball off the plate. And I told you before we went on air tonight, Camden Yards, I mean, I love that ballpark. And it's my favorite ballpark that I've been to. And it's not just because I work for an Orioles minor league team. There's just something about that park. Fun place to watch a game. 1-2, high and away.
I know I'm biased, but I still think, in being around a lot of ballparks and traveling and seeing a lot of baseball, still think it's the best ballpark in all of baseball. Maybe one of the best of any sport.
Swing and a miss. Nestor Ehrman, 9-up, 9-down tonight with 4 strikeouts out of the pen. And he throws up another 0 for the Ironbirds. Will the drive go down 1-2-3 in the sixth? We'll head to the home half of the sixth. See if the Birds can get some runs. They trail Greenville 2-0. Stay locked in with us on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom six in the D, and the Ironbirds trail the drive 2-0. Jake Cunningham, Carter Young, and Anderson De Los Santos, the middle of the order, due up against Jedickson Paez, right-handed reliever for Greenville, threw a scoreless fifth inning but had to work around some traffic. As Cunningham takes a strike, it's 0-1. Brent, it looks like, from what we saw last inning, that the Ironbirds are finding their stroke at the plate, you know, the second, third time through the order. See if they can get something going here.
They've had a couple in runners in scoring position. They've put a little pressure last couple innings, just unable to get that big hit.
The count's 0-2 on Cunningham. He just stepped out to regroup. It's great to see him pick up three hits in his high A debut the other night, spraying the ball all over the ballpark. 0-2, chopper to the right side, and that sneaks through into the outfield. A high bounce off of that turf, and even if it didn't bounce that high, I think it would have snuck through anyway. Just beat the shift. So three of his four hits at high A are to the opposite field. That's a really solid approach from a young hitter.
It's the old Baltimore chop.
Yeah.
Just smash it into the ground right over the first baseman's head. And, yeah, Jake Cunningham in his debut was terrific with the three hits, and he's played well here tonight as well.
So already five hits in three games at high A. Here's Carter Young, big rip at that one. Came up empty. It's 0-1.
We just talked about all the offense that was promoted to Bowie.
Yeah.
The Iron Birds lost, really, the centerpiece of the offense, the middle of the order. So to see some of the guys being promoted up to the Iron Birds kind of coming through here early is important.
And I noticed it last year, really all throughout the season, but this year as well. It hasn't taken guys too long to get adjusted to high A baseball. And I think these guys are going up there with a confident approach to start. Most of the recent promotions position players. 1-1. Young lifts one to right center field. Playable for Earhart. He's over, makes the catch towards right center. One out here in the sixth. Brings up De Los Santos, 0-1 with a walk. Jedickson Paez trying to get through a second scoreless inning of relief and keep the shutout bait alive for the drive. Cunningham, big secondary at first, swing and a miss from De Los Santos. Well, Brent, I talk about it with people all the time. When you work in sports, when you're not working, you have to find a way to get away from sports sometimes. Whereas most people, you know, they work non-sports jobs, their outlet is sports. It's the flip side for us. So when you have the free time or need to get away from the work aspect of sports, how do you do it, and what are the hobbies outside of sports?
Love to play golf. Talking about my daughter, school starts in a couple of weeks. She just started golf tryouts. She's a senior at Bel Air High School. I love going out and playing. It's relaxing and frustrating and maddening and as gratifying as anything I think I've ever done athletically.
Yeah.
All wrapped into one. I think somebody said it's the one sport you wait all week with anticipation to play on the weekend. You play, you hate it, and then you can't wait to do it again. We also got a dog this past year, so Charlie Chestnut, the Golden Doodle. I spent a lot of time with him in the summer, which is fun. So go to the dog park and go for walks and hang out with the family.
Awesome.
Yeah, he is the man, except when he chews stuff, right? Like, except when he's being a puppy. I believe we lost a remote control this week, so that was an issue.
That's a tough loss. Swing and a miss. De Los Santos down on strikes.
That's it, man. Like to go to the beach. Yeah, play golf, beach, dog, family.
I know you were telling me you guys were up in Cape Cod recently. You're down in St. Petersburg, Florida, where your wife's family is a lot. Of the trips that you've been on and the beaches that you've been to, do you have a favorite?
Wow. So there's one that when you go to Cape Cod, and we're in a town called Harwichport, which
Cunningham takes off for second, and he got his hand in at the bag. That was a bang-bang play, but he got in there.
Heck of a slide, because that's what getting the hand in, the throw may have beat him. But
that's his third stolen base of the night.
Heads-up play. So in Cape Cod, and we were talking about the Cape Cod League. I've seen a lot of baseball in Cape Cod. It's really, really great seeing some of the really big-name college players that get a chance to put the wood bat in their hand. But when we're in Cape Cod, there's Nantucket, and Martha's Vineyard right across the way. You got to take a boat over, but the beach at Martha's Vineyard, I've never seen anything like it because it's just a beach. It's like on the backside of the vineyard, and it is one of the coolest things. There's no hotels. There's no houses. It is just a beach. It's pretty phenomenal. That's probably one of the best. And you go down to Sarasota, of course, where the Orioles have spring training. That is some of the best beaches you will find in the entire world. And it's that white sand that doesn't get hot. You can walk out on it. I know a lot of Oriole fans go down there for spring training and spend a couple of weeks, and they absolutely love it down there.
1-2 pitch to Anudis Mordaunt is outside. 2-2. Birds down 2-0, bottom six. Well, I spent a day at Orioles minor league camp this spring, and after spending the day at the Twin Lakes facilities where the minor leaguers train, I just made the quick drive over to Siesta Key Beach. Oh. I mean, my first time there, it was incredible. 2-2. Tied him up inside, another swing and a miss, and another zero on the board for this Greenville pitching staff. Birds got a runner in a scoring position again, but can't get him home. 2-0 Greenville after six. We'll take another break on the broadcast and reset the scene when we come back for the seventh. Keep it locked on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Top of the seventh inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Greenville 2, Aberdeen nothing. Nestor Hermann back to work. 9-up, 9-down for the right-hander. He's thrown just 40 pitches, 25 strikes in 3 innings, and he gets a first-pitch ground ball to second. Vasquez over to first, and on one pitch, Juan Chacon is retired. Well, you'll take a one-pitch out any time, and Nestor Hermann has just been fantastic tonight. 10 in a row down.
Right now, the Ironbirds have out-hit the drive 4-2, but 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. And honestly, Hermann has come in and kind of settled things down, kept the Ironbirds in this ball game. It's 10 straight now that he's sat down. And so he has really given them a chance in this ball game.
With the 10 in a row that Hermann has set down to start his night, that ties him for the third most consecutive batters retired by an Ironbirds pitcher this year. 1-0, swing and a miss. Third time that an Ironbird has set down 10 in a row. Michael Ferret set down 11 in a row on June 25th, and Zach Fruit set down 13 in a row the night that he started the combined no-hitter on July 19th. Hermann showing no signs of slowing down, 1-1. And that one missed just barely high. Counts 2-1. A very winnable game for the Birds if they can keep pitching this way and scratch across a few runs. Ground ball to short. Young eats that one up, throws to first. Another ground ball out for Hermann. And that's 11 in a row that he's set down. Brings up the third baseman, Andy Lugo. Swing and a miss. Well, Nestor Hermann is just having his way right now. Brent, it feels like one of those games where the Ironbirds are going to break through with a big hit or two. Just the way the pitching's keeping them in the game, and they've had runners on base tonight. It just hasn't worked out so far.
Yeah, 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. You kind of feel like something's going to – and when it does, it feels like it's going to open up in a big way.
Yeah. Another 1-2-3 inning from Hermann will go a long way. 1-1 skipped into the dirt. The last Greenville base runner was Brian Gonzalez, who reached on an RBI fielder's choice grounder back in the third inning. Before that, the last hit was Zach Earhart, the batter before him. Greenville's runs came in the second and third, one in each inning. Pitch off the plate from Hermann, 3-1. Trying to avoid a two-out walk. See what he comes with on 3-1. Here it is. Ground ball to third. There's De Los Santos firing a strike over to first, and the inning is over. 4-3, 6-3, and 5-3. All three infielders and the first baseman, Romero, getting some action there. A 1-2-3 inning for Nestor Hermann. He's faced 12 batters. He's retired them all. And we'll go to the bottom of the seventh inning with the Birds still down 2-0. Time to stretch here in the Dean. We'll head to the seventh next on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom seven in Aberdeen. Birds looking for some runs. Down 2-0 to the Greenville Drive in game three of this six-game series. The two teams have split the first two games of the series. It's Vasquez, Romero, and Arias. 8-9-1 due up against Jedickson Paez, who's back out for a third inning of relief. Vasquez fouls the first pitch back. Counts 0-1. How about the job, Brent, that Nestor Hermann has done tonight? 12 up, 12 down. He's been fantastic.
Been phenomenal. Again, they haven't given up more, two hits and this entire game, and the last two relief pitchers have been perfect.
Fly ball to deep center field off the bat of Vasquez. But playable for Earhart. He makes the catch. One up, one down in the seventh. That brings up Noelbert Romero. Well, at some point they've got to run into a rally, you'd think. I mean, they've had traffic on the bases. Take a look at, they went down 1-2-3 in the first inning, but they've had at least one man on in every other inning since. Big hole on the right side for Romero. First pitch in for a strike, 0-1.
I think when you go through sort of a roster reconstruction in a lot of ways with the promotions, you start to wonder who's the guy that's going to drive in runs.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of new faces and just kind of waiting to see which one steps up in that moment.
Swing and a miss there. It's 0-2.
Cunningham's got a couple of hits tonight. Two of the four hits for the Ironbirds. And three of the first four hitters in the lineup, all new faces. Yep. So kind of just waiting maybe to see how it all gels together.
0-2, Romero takes low, counts 1-2. I mean, it's not easy having to get so many guys adjusted to a new level this late in the season, especially when you're only a half game out of a playoff spot and a lot to play for. 1-2 from Paez outside.
Hey, we talked about it earlier, that players will press a little bit following a promotion, right? They want to kind of prove that they deserved it, and they'll continue typically in a promotion. It's a guy that's played well. They want to show that they can continue doing that at the next level.
A good take from Romero to make the count 3-2. Right now, the Birds just need base runners. One base runner will bring the tying run to the dish. 3-2, grounded foul up the third baseline.
Hey, good job getting this count to a 3-2 count after the first two strikes. Romero batting ninth in this lineup. He's seen a lot of pitches tonight. He's had some good at-bats.
Hard line out his first time up. Now he hits a tapper to second. De Leon comes up on it, throws to first, and that's out number two here in the seventh. Back to the top for Arias, who was hit by a pitch in each of his last two times to the plate. MLB Pipeline scouting report of Arias says that he's got above-average arm strength that fits well at multiple spots around the diamond. But he has a chance to grow into a bat-first infielder. And that's always a plus for these prospects as they try to work their way up a system. Because if you can hit, they'll find a spot for you.
You're also seeing, especially at the major league level, just flexibility. How important is flexibility? Can you play second and third? Maybe first as well? Playing multiple positions and where they can put you in multiple spots in the order is important.
Birds down 2-0, two gone, no one on, bottom seven. Last year in the Florida Complex League, Arias received just about equal playing time at second, short, and third. He's played mostly shortstop this year. He's the DH tonight. Takes a strike, 2-1. At Delmarva, he started 41 games at shortstop, 14 at second base, was the designated hitter 9 times. So this is an up-the-middle guy. And shortstop is his number one spot. 2-1, takes a strike. But yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten to a point where at the lower levels of the minor leagues, Delmarva, Aberdeen, even in Bowie, pretty much everybody in the lineup, except for a couple guys here and there, are playing two, sometimes three, maybe even four positions throughout a season. And that's not just a coincidence. That's by design. The goal is to get these guys reps all over the place.
And even at 19 years old, this is his third professional season, a couple of years of rookie ball, and then has moved his way up third team this year. So You can see for a young guy, still a lot of experience, playing a lot of different positions.
Takes a pitch low there. That's ball four. Oh, ball three. He thought it was ball four. Well, last time when he got hit, they said he didn't get hit and brought him back. Then they eventually sent him to first. This time he thought it was ball four. It wasn't. He had to come back. So now 3-2. Paez ready to rock. Next pitch. Off the end of the bat, out to second. De Leon is there. Throws over to first, inning over. So a fly out and a couple of ground ball outs. The Birds go quietly once again here in the seventh. So with seven in the books, the Birds still trail 2-0. We'll head to the top of the eighth after another quick break on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Nestor Herman goes back to work in the top of the eighth inning. He's retired all 12 batters that he's faced, and he is rolling. Birds down 2-0, though. Haven't had much going offensively. Out hitting the drive 4-2. But the drive in front in the run column, and that's what matters. Framie De Leon swings and misses at the first pitch he sees. Counts 0-1, 9-1-2 for the drive. Birds went down 1-2-3 in the home half of the seventh. Nestor Herman doing his thing out there tonight. 0-1 in the dirt. Well, if he retires De Leon here, that'll tie him with Zach Fruit for the most consecutive batters retired for an individual Ironbirds pitcher this season with 13.
Just his third appearance with the Ironbirds, and he has not gone more than three innings. So this is his longest outing so far.
Got through the first four innings tonight with just 50 pitches. That one's over for a strike. 2-1. A lot of weak contact. Three ground ball outs for Herman back in the seventh. He also has four strikeouts. One-two pitch. Got him. Breaking ball down low. 13 in a row set down by Nestor Herman. He is on an absolute tear right now through this Greenville lineup. Birds have bullpen action. Right-hander Cooper Chandler's loosening up, but he might be getting ready for the ninth. 13 batters, 13 outs. Now here's Justin Reamer. Pitch misses high. It's a Burger King night for Herman. Have it your way. Everything he's throwing up to these drive hitters is working. Swings and misses, weak contact. 1-0 pitch, that's down, it's 2-0.
Good news up at Camden Yards. The Orioles 5-1 winners over the Red Sox. They open a four-game series.
Zach Eflin pitched tonight, right?
And pitched really well. Gunnar Henderson had a two-run homer. And Cedric Mullins also homered. And Zeflin, six innings, eight strikeouts, just one earned run. So
that was a great
solid
pickup. Yeah. Great pickup for the Orioles. I mean, just so consistent. Doesn't walk guys.
With the injury to Grayson Rodriguez, too, it just, I think, puts an exclamation point on how big of a move the Orioles made at the deadline. As you know, there were a lot of moves made, and
yeah,
a couple of Iron Birds were part of some of those deals.
Counts 3-1 on Justin Reamer. Armand's next pitch is in for a strike, counts full. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little torn on that Eflin trade. I think it's a great trade for the big league team, of course, but Mike Elias sent away three of my friends in that deal.
Yeah,
two
Max,
were on our roster.
Max Horvath was the headliner for sure.
Counts 3-2 on Reamer. Armand has a chance to set down his 14th batter in a row. Payoff pitch. Fly ball down the right field line, out of play, foul. So Horvath, Baumeister, and Etzel go in that trade to the Rays organization. And, of course, excited for all three of those guys for the opportunity. But it's always tough when you see guys leave town, leave the organization. Another payoff pitch coming from Herman. Long pause. Now the 3-2. Line foul to the right side.
Well, I think fans always knew some of this talent down in the minor leagues was going to be traded away at some point, especially for pitching. And
yeah,
not to get too attached to too many guys. And so no surprise. I mean, it takes some pretty good players to get some good, you know, players back. And
3-2 pitch on the ground to short. Young has it, shuffles, throws to first in time. 14 in a row set down by Nestor Herman. That is a new season high for consecutive batters retired by an Iron Birds pitcher. He has been legitimately flawless tonight, and it looks like that's it for him. So he faces 14 batters. He gets all 14 out. I think that's the best individual pitching performance I've seen this season, Brent, and I've seen a lot of good ones, but when you face that many hitters and don't allow a base runner, I mean, that's just incredible.
That is a bittersweet walk to the mound as a manager. Because your pitcher has been phenomenal tonight. As you mentioned, 4 2/3, and every single one of them, he's gotten out five strikeouts. And you got to go take the ball. It's about how, you know, pitch count,
right,
and usage. But he was perfect. So all the infielders came in, little high five to Herman, who exits after a brilliant, brilliant night.
He was fantastic, and I've said it throughout his two outings here at home, including tonight. That's a name to keep an eye on. I mean, one of those guys who just goes out there and gets outs.
Throws a lot of strikes, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't walk too many hitters. Lowered his ERA under one here tonight on the season. And a guy that throws strikes, allows the defense to play behind him a little bit, can be very effective. I know. We're just talking about Zach Eflin. One of the first things he said when he met with the Baltimore media was he hates to walk guys.
Yeah.
Hates it. With a passion. Does not like to give in. And I like to see that out of a pitcher.
Well, Nestor Herman is a guy who, moving forward, profiles as a pitcher who may not strike out a ton of hitters. I mean, you know, he's striking out over a batter per inning this year, which is excellent. He may not be the guy who you call a strikeout guy all the time and overpowers you with 98 and 99, but a lot of weak contact tonight, balls off the end of the bat. If you're finding ways to get outs, that's going to play at any level. So his night is done. His final line, 4 2/3 innings of work, no hits, no runs, no walks, 5 strikeouts, 62 pitches, 38 strikes, and like you said, the goal is to protect these guys for the long term. And pitch count and usage, a big reason why Herman is not in this game anymore. So here's Cooper Chandler, right-hander for the Birds. Gets a swing and a miss from Miguel Blaise, the DH. Counts quickly 0-1, but a spectacular outing from Herman in relief. And one that we will definitely be talking about the rest of this week. 0-1 in for a strike, 0-2.
Yeah, a couple of early runs for the drive, and Aberdeen is out, hit them 4-2, but it's those two early runs in the second and third, the difference.
Chopper to third. De Los Santos has it on one hop. Fires a bullet over to first, inning over. A 1-2-3 inning between Herman and Chandler. And the Birds throw up another very important zero on the scoreboard. They trail 2-0 to the drive, though, after 7.5. Birds down to their final six outs. See what they can do with the bats in the bottom of the eighth next on MILB TV and Bally Live. Birds trail the drive 2-0, bottom of the eighth inning here in Aberdeen. Birds got shut out last night. They're getting shut out here tonight. Out hitting the drive 4-2, but they've got to get something in the run column, and they have to do it quickly. Sosa, Hodo, and Cunningham. And Brent, you talked about it earlier, Jake Cunningham in that four hole, two hits and three stolen bases tonight. See if he can continue to make something happen as Sosa flips one foul out of play. Sosa had a nice hit his last time up in the fifth inning. So, I mean, running out of outs to work with, Brent. They got to get something going.
I was thinking about a rally cap maybe here in the eighth and ninth.
Yeah.
I looked out into the stands. We have a whole group, a section over here to our left. They just did the shark dance. As a matter of fact, one of the guys I think is dressed in a shark costume. I'm wondering if that is maybe the inspiration to get a little rally going here.
Jedickson Paez is back out there. He came on in the sixth. Sosa drives one to deep center field. Earhart going back, and he makes the grab just shy of the track.
That's about 390, 395.
Nice piece off the bat.
Deepest part of the park.
You mentioned the guy in the shark suit down the third base line. There are a lot of people dressed up. I see a cow suit. Couple others that I can't make out. Maybe a penguin suit. I don't know what the theme is there other than just animals, but
it's a Thursday night out in Hartford County.
Anything to spice up a night at the yard.
Sure.
Counts 1-0 on Hodo. Birds down a pair. Tried to check his swing but could not. 1-1 now. That pitch almost got him. Right now, the Ironbirds need base runners any way they can get them. Hit by pitches, walks, hits.
Ironbirds just one walk tonight.
Swing and a miss there. It's 2-2 on Hodo.
They have been aggressive early in the counts. I've noticed that they've gone after first pitches, a lot of swings there early, but I don't know, not a lot of patience with just the one walk here tonight. 10 strikeouts as well for the Ironbirds.
2-2, Hodo takes low, counts full. And when this Ironbirds team is taking its walks, then they're a really tough team to beat because doesn't matter how they get on base. When they are on base, you're going to see them run. And they can turn walks into essentially doubles and triples because of what they can do on the base paths. 3-2, foul back. I mean, we saw it in the fourth inning. Jake Cunningham swiped a couple bags. Carter Young got one. And that set up second and third with two outs because of a double steal. Birds just couldn't cash in. 3-2. Hodo lines one to the left center field gap. That's down. Should be extra bases. Hodo's around first, heading for second. Ball gets all the way to the wall. He's around second, heading for third. And he slides in with a triple. A one-out three-bagger for Douglas Hodo here in the bottom of the eighth. And the Birds have something cooking, down just two.
Ah, the Sharks dancing. And a runner in scoring position, and your cleanup hitter, Cunningham, who has been your best at the plate here tonight, with a shot to drive him in.
First extra base hit of the night for the Ironbirds, Doug Hodo with the triple. Greenville will keep its infield back up two. First pitch to Cunningham, misses low and away. I think it's safe to say that the Birds need to get this run home, even if it takes an out to do it. First triple of the season for Hodo, his 18th extra base hit overall. 1-0, Cunningham sends one to third, and that's going to be an infield base hit. An RBI single for Jake Cunningham, his third hit of the night. Hodo's in to score. And it's 2-1 here in the home eighth.
That looked like a swinging bunt. It went about 10 or 15 feet, but it was perfectly placed down the third base line, and the third baseman had no shot at all at getting Cunningham, who came out of the box hard. Sometimes maybe just a little luck works, but and that is a hard swing for a ball that only went about 15 feet.
Yeah. Got that one off the end of the bat. A slow roller up the third baseline. Andy Lugo, the third baseman, was back. No chance for him to get Cunningham at first or Hodo coming home. It's 2-1, Greenville. The Birds are on the board. Brent, you are on the board. You're not going home shut out. And now the tying runs at first with only one out.
That could have followed me for weeks. It's good to get off the schneid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big.
That's big.
Shutout with Sting, so, I mean, look, the rally's still going. Cunningham on first, only one out.
Jake Cunningham has 2 3-hit games in his first three games at High A. So here's Carter Young. He represents the go-ahead run. Paya is still out there after the mound visit. First pitch to CY. Skies it to shallow center. Earhart a few steps in. He makes the catch. Cunningham retreats the first. So two down here in the eighth. That brings up De Los Santos. The way this thing is shaping up right now, even if the Birds don't score another run this inning, you go into the top of the ninth, got to have a shutdown inning. If you go into the bottom of the ninth, down just one, got to feel pretty good. Move over to first. Cunningham's back.
Especially the way the Ironbirds have pitched in this ballgame.
First pitch to De Los Santos. Misses low and in. Counts 1-0. 2-1 our score in the home half of the eighth. Doug Hodo tripled the left center with one out. Jake Cunningham, an infield single, brought home Hodo. That's how the Birds got on the board. 1-0, fought off foul, 1-1. There's some big bats on the bench that Felipe Rojas Alou Jr. could go to, either in this bottom of the eighth inning or in the bottom of the ninth. Creed Willems, Adam Retzbach, Elio Prado, all on the bench tonight. Snap throw to first. Cunningham's back again.
Oh,
Cunningham takes off for second, pitches a called strike inside, throw down is not in time, and Jake Cunningham has his fourth stolen base of the night. That ties the Ironbirds single-game franchise record, and he's in scoring position with two down. Three hits, four stolen bases, and an RBI tonight. Have yourself a night, Jake Cunningham.
Mordot is on deck. I thought maybe that would be a spot to bring Williams in.
I was thinking
catcher
the same
for
thing.
Catcher.
And I think the only reason I can think is that maybe they just want to give Willems a night off from behind the plate and don't want him to have to go in there and catch. Maybe they
I
just
think,
want
too,
more.
In a six-game series, that's a great point.
Yeah,
and even though Willems is your leader in RBI and would be kind of the perfect pitch hitter in this situation.
Check swing there from De Los Santos. He went around, and the inning is over. Well, Jake Cunningham picked up his fourth stolen base of the night. He brought home the Ironbirds' first run of the night with an RBI single. And we will head to the top of the ninth with the Birds down just one now. 2-1 in favor of the drive. Top nine coming up next on MILB TV and Bally Live. Cooper Chandler goes back to work in the top of the ninth inning here in Aberdeen. Drive 2, Ironbirds 1. The Birds got their first run of the game in the bottom of the eighth. Doug Hodo tripled to left center. Jake Cunningham got him in with an infield single. Cunningham has three hits and four stolen bases tonight. He's had himself a night. And now Chandler starts off Zach Earhart with strike one. Well, Brent, this is a very important top of the ninth inning. The Birds really need a shutdown frame to throw up a zero. The last Greenville base runner came in the third inning. Nestor Herman retired all 14 batters that he faced. Cooper Chandler retired the one batter that he faced in the eighth. 1-1, that's outside. Pitch misses to Earhart. Count is 3-1. Well, that leadoff man is so important right here in the ninth inning. Chandler does not want to walk him here. Three-one off the hands up the middle. That's a base hit. So the Drive have their first base runner since the third inning. They went five full innings with no one on base. That was an impressive run from this Ironbirds pitching staff.
Yeah, Greenville right now thinking about an insurance run. as they would go into the bottom of the ninth inning, maybe with a little more of a cushion.
First pitch to Gonzalez, swings and fouls one back, counts 0-1. Double play ball would be huge right here. Just looking for that quick inning, get the bats going, keep the momentum on the Ironbird side. Move over to first, runner back. Chandler slowing down the pace with a man on base. 0-1 misses inside, 1-1. Chandler's the fourth pitcher of the night for the Birds. Levi Wells started, went 2 1/3. Yaki Rivera went 2/3 of an inning. Nestor Herman, 4 2/3 innings of perfect baseball. And now Chandler. Flip foul. Counts 1-2 on Gonzalez. So, Brent, I haven't even mentioned it on the broadcast yet, but last year you had me on as a guest on Orioles Insider to talk about what was happening with the Ironbirds at the time, talking about stuff down on the farm. So I had to return the favor this year, bring you on the broadcast and have you here as my guest color guy. And it's been a lot of fun. Hoping we can finish this off with a walk-off win.
That would be nice because the bats for the Ironbirds have been pretty silent here tonight, so... One big hit could change it all.
Counts full on Gonzalez as Chandler looks to work through this top of the ninth inning.
Well, Chandler is one of the few players on the Ironbirds who was born in the 90s. 26 years old, is a veteran on this ball club. He's in a veteran position right now to see if he can limit this, get out of the inning, keep it a one-run game.
This is a big inning right here. It's nice for me. I'm 29 years old now. I'm a 95 guy, but it's nice to have some other guys on this roster that saw the 90s, you know. 3-2, just missed ball four, and that puts runners at first and second. Tough situation to have to work out of. Here's Hudson White, the five-hole hitter. I got to speak a double play ball into existence here. Absolutely would love that right now. Birds will play White to pull in the infield. Big hole on the right side. First pitch misses low. Chandler just struggling a little bit with command right now. Went to a three-ball count on Earhart, who singled, and then walked Gonzalez. And now Anunis Mordaunt heads out to the mound to chat with Chandler. And pitching coach Jordy Henry heads out as well.
Have there been any triple plays when you've had a guest this season?
Haven't seen any triple plays.
That could move me up the list.
Yeah, I mean,
triple play.
If you see something like that, I mean, there are ways to slide up the the power rankings. I've only ever called one triple play in pro ball. I've actually called three triple plays in my broadcasting career, which I gotta believe that's a lot. I mean, I haven't been calling games that long, but when I was calling games in the Summer Collegiate Northwoods League back in 2017, the same guy on our team hit into a double play in the span of like 8 plate appearances. Shot to the right side, off the glove of the diving first baseman Romero, and Vasquez isn't able to pick it up out at second. Everybody's safe. The bases are loaded for the drive with no outs in the ninth. That's an infield knock for White.
And Romero cannot believe he couldn't hold on to the baseball. It looked like it just came off the end of the glove.
Yeah.
And then Vasquez had a chance to pick it up and make a play. And then dropped it.
The Birds keep their infielders back with the bases loaded and no outs. Pitch misses low from Chandler. Pitch, that's low. Well, he's fallen behind each of the four hitters that he's faced this inning.
Control has been an issue. He has 32 strikeouts in just over 25 innings, and boy, could he use a strikeout right now.
Next one from Chandler misses low, and now it's 3-0. Well, the drive could break this thing open. The Birds are hoping that that doesn't happen. Nowhere to put him. Now the 3-0 offering. Swing and a miss. Surprised to see him taking a hack there. Juan Chacon, 3-0. Bases loaded, no outs.
Especially with some of the control issues that we've seen from Chandler here in this inning.
Fly ball down the right field line. Hooking out of play. Foul. So now 3-2. A lot of credit to Chandler for coming back from 3-0 to make it 3-2. Now the all four infielders are about halfway. See if they try to cut this runoff at the plate. 3-2, swing and a miss. There's a big punch out from Chandler. You mentioned it, Brent. He got it. And now there's one out. Double play ball gets you out of the inning. So here's the seven-hole hitter, Miguel Ugueto. Ugueto is 0 for 2. He brought home Greenville's first run of the game with a sack fly in the second. First pitch low. Two runs on four hits, no errors for Greenville. One run on six hits, no errors for Aberdeen. 1-0 from Chandler. Tap foul behind home plate. Infielders remain halfway. Chandler set 1-1. Swinging a foul tip to the backstop. And now in another position for a strikeout. You mentioned the punch-outs this year, Brent. More than a strikeout per inning.
He's had pretty good control this season, so... not his normal stuff as he's loaded the bases.
Big 1-2 pitch coming up. Ugueto ready. Here it is. Fouled back. Well, it hasn't been easy, but Chandler can get out of this frame with a zero in the run column. Eighteenth appearance overall this season for Coop between three levels. 1-2, just got a piece. Opened the year on the 60-day injured list. Pitched in three rehab games in the FCL. Four rehab games with Low A Delmarva. Then back up to Aberdeen. This is his 11th appearance overall with the Ironbirds. Looking for a big out number two in the ninth with the Birds down one. 1-2, swing and a miss. Back-to-back strikeouts when he needed them the most. And now the infielders can move back with two down and the bases still juiced. Well, Brent, it was bases loaded, no outs, 3-0 count. Strikeout, strikeout. And if he gets out of this with nothing on the board, that is big time for his team. Right-hander Zane Barnhart is up in the Ironbirds bullpen. Action in the Greenville pen as well. Adam Smith getting ready. Smith, a right-hander. We'll see if he gets the ninth. No balls and a strike on Lugo. 0-1 misses low. In the bottom of the ninth inning, the Birds have 7-8-9 due up. Mordon, Vasquez, and Romero. Those three will hit unless we see a pinch hitter. 1-1. Well, I mentioned earlier that Willems, Retzbach, and Prado are all on the bench. Aaron Estrada is on the bench as well. And right now I see Aaron Estrada stretching and just moving around a little bit in the Ironbirds dugout. Not saying he's going to pinch hit, but he's getting loose in case they need him. 1-2 pitch. Ground ball to short. Young has it. Flips to second for one. And Cooper Chandler tight ropes out of a bases loaded. No out jam. And throws up a zero in the top of the ninth. An impressive outing from Cooper Chandler. Goes an inning and a third scoreless. And he really clutched up when the Birds needed it the most. Birds are down to their final three outs. 2-1 Greenville as we go to the home ninth. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Marcantonini and Brent Harris with you on the call tonight. Mordon, Vasquez, and Romero due up in the home ninth. Birds down 2-1. Right-hander Adam Smith is the new pitcher for the Birds. And Mordon has his first high A hit as he lines one to left. That's a great way to start the bottom of the ninth. One pitch, and the Birds have the tying run on. Mordon was 0-for-3 when hitless last night. And picks on the first pitch from Smith and has a base hit. That brings up Jalen Vasquez representing the winning run. Well, Brent, the Birds only have one run on the board tonight, but they could walk this thing off, get you a win, get you a walk-off win, and got to love having the leadoff man on.
I would take it. You know, it's a game it feels like the Ironbirds have kind of been in control. Of course, Herman pitched great there in the middle portion of this ball game, and the couple of runs that the drive put up were on a sacrifice fly and a force out. It hasn't felt like Greenville has outplayed Aberdeen here tonight, but the scoreboard says they have.
And right.
If the Ironbirds are able to push across the tying and winning run this inning, I think it almost seems fair the way this game has played out.
Yeah, the drive haven't scored since the third inning. The sack fly and the fielder's choice grounder, like you said, that's how they've scored. Aaron Estrada in at first base. The pinch run for Mordan. With Vasquez in the box. Smith looks over at first. Now the 1-1 to Jalen. It looked off the plate, but called a strike. It's 1-2. So some speed on the bases with Aaron Estrada out there. Estrada was 31 for 39 swiping bags in low A this year. See if he decides to go. 1-2, Vasquez ahead of a pitch there, and he is down on strikes. So one out here in the home ninth. Birds down to their final two outs. Here's Noelbert Romero. Birds have 5 stolen bases tonight. And now, of course, they don't want to get the tying run thrown out here in the ninth inning, but maybe they try to get him into scoring position and shake things up. Romero swings at the first pitch and fouls it back. Right-hander Adam Smith is a native of Westchester, Pennsylvania. Played his college ball at UNC Wilmington. Pitch misses low there to Romero, 1-1. Second team all CAA selection in 2021 with UNC Wilmington. Foul ball back to the netting. 1-2 on Romero. Smith signed with the Red Sox back in April. Drafted by the San Diego Padres in the 14th round of 2021. Romero fouled another one back, counts 1-2.
Really keeping an eye on Estrada to see what kind of lead he's getting over there. And if the Ironbirds are willing to kind of force the issue to try to get him down to second base.
I mean, I'd like to see him go. And, I mean, there's pros and cons, like I kind of laid it out. You know, you don't want to get that tying run thrown out, but at the same time, to have him in scoring position when it's been so hard to score tonight, it may be worth the risk. We've mentioned Romero, 2 walk-offs in the same day in Bowie last week as he skies one foul out of play to the third base side. Does he have another one in him? I mean, a walk-off homer here would be insane. Not a home run hitter, but he has pop. But he's got that walk-off, that clutch factor with hitting 2 walk-offs in the same day last week.
No doubt he's feeling it.
1-2 off the plate, 2-2. He has a homer and 8 RBIs in his time at High A this year. Big hole on the right side for him. 2-2. Popped up. First base side foul ground, and the catcher Hudson White makes a sliding grab. So 2 outs here in the ninth. And no walk-off for Romero tonight. Back to the top of the order for Leandro Arias. Last chance for the Birds. Still down a run. Bottom 9. With Aaron Estrada, the tying run at first base. Pitch to Arias, misses a little bit low. Something to one of the gaps or into the left or right field corner could tie this game. Estrada has that kind of speed. 1-0 outside, 2-0. Smith trying to pick up the save and protect this one-run lead for Greenville. 2-0, swing and a miss. I like that cut on 2-0 right there. Knew he was getting something to hit.
In that hitter's count in a moment that you really need a big base hit. Again, I think the Ironbirds have been really aggressive today at the batter's box.
2-1. Chopper up the middle to the shortstop. Reamer behind second, throws to first, and that'll do it. A 2-1 win for the Greenville Drive here in Game 3 of this six-game series. Birds made it interesting in the late frames. They got within one after a run in the eighth. They put the tying run on base, leading off the bottom of the ninth. But that tying run didn't get any further. A 2-1 win for Greenville. In a pitcher's duel here in Aberdeen, three really well-played tight games in this series so far. But the Birds come up just short tonight. And Brent, we talked about it throughout the night. It just didn't feel like Greenville necessarily outplayed Aberdeen. You mentioned how they got their two runs, a sacrifice fly and a fielder's choice grounder. They didn't score after the third inning. The Ironbirds had seven hits, including a big triple and an infield single to bring home a run in the bottom of the eighth, yet they're the ones that come up short on this night in Aberdeen.
And a lot of positives for the Ironbirds in this ball game, and you'd have to start with Herman, who pitched 4 2/3 of perfect baseball, 5 strikeouts, came in, really kind of set the tone in the middle innings, kept the Ironbirds in it, kept it close. And then Cunningham on the other side of the plate, another 3-hit game, 4 stolen bases. Really a great offensive game for Cunningham, who, look, Jake Cunningham just brought up earlier this week and already in 2 games, 6 hits in 3 games with the Ironbirds. So those two really stood out to me at a close game, a 2-1 game. The Ironbirds just gave up a couple of runs early. That's a difference, but a lot of positives for sure to take out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two guys you mentioned, Nestor Herman and Jake Cunningham. I mean, for Herman, who made just his third appearance at High A tonight, to go out there, face 14 batters, and get them all out, and it wasn't like he was relying on strikeouts. Picked up 5 strikeouts, but threw 62 pitches to get through 4 2/3, very efficient. And we talked about the quick outs that he was getting, throwing strike one, and a lot of soft contact. I go back to that seventh inning and look at ground ball to second, ground ball to short, ground ball to third. I mean, that's how simple it was for him tonight. And then Jake Cunningham spraying the ball to right field, sending it the opposite way, legging out an infield knock. And he tied an Ironbirds single-game franchise record with 4 stolen bases. The Ironbirds have had 3 guys do that this year, Doug Hodo, Enrique Bradfield, and now Jake Cunningham. So 2 very big positive performances to take away from tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's made a nice impression here early, Cunningham, yeah, in just a couple of games. And, you know, the difference in this ball game really came down to the fact that the Ironbirds just could not drive in the runs when they had guys on base. 1 for 6 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 on in the ball game and out hit Greenville 7-4 in the game. But, again, you give up a couple of runs early. Outside of those 2 runs, man, the pitching tonight for Aberdeen was terrific. Just finding that hit, that clutch hit in this ball game was tough. But again, there's a lot of new faces that were just promoted from Delmarva just a couple of days before. And I have a feeling they're still trying to find the chemistry in that lineup and who's going to be the guy to drive in the big runs.
I think that's a great point, and it can't be understated. It's tough to integrate all these guys in late in the season. So much roster movement, trades, signings, new draft picks, moving everybody up. There's a lot going on, and a credit to everybody in the Orioles organization for helping these guys make these seamless transitions. When you've got guys like Cunningham and Herman and Estrada, who didn't start but came in late in the game, that are having so much success early at a level, it's impressive. So let's get you some final totals in this one, Ironbirds fans. With the win, the Drive improve to 52-59 overall, 26-20 in the second half. The loss drops the Ironbirds to 57-54 overall, 23-22 in the second half. 2 runs on 4 hits, no errors for Greenville. 1 run on 7 hits, no errors for Aberdeen. The win goes to Jedickson Paez. He moves to 4-2. Levi Wells suffered the loss. He is now 0-6. Adam Smith picked up his first save of the season. Game was played in 2 hours and 40 minutes in front of 3,055 fans. here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, Brent, it was awesome having you join me on the broadcast tonight. You're not getting shut out. You're going home with a run on the board. Tough night offensively for the Birds. And, of course, you don't take home the win. But it was awesome having you in the booth with me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join me. Overall, how was the experience on your end?
This was a lot of fun. I mean, look, you want to win on the resume, right? When you only get to do this one shot. This was a blast. This is a beautiful ballpark. I love coming here as a fan, but it was really cool to sit up here from these seats, the perch above the field. It's a great vantage point. It's a fun ball game, and it was great to be able to spend the time here with you, and I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's been so fun connecting with people in the Baltimore media scene this year, and you're the third WBAL employee that I've had in. Like I mentioned, my friends Ryan and Val, who I've worked with and now had a chance to call a game with and had a chance to bring you on. So I always ask my guests before
we go.
Did
they both win, by the way?
They both got wins. So
Val had the walk-off.
Val had 6 runs and a walk-off
and
win.
And Ryan had a win as well.
A win and 7 runs.
So I'm the only one coming back to WBAL without a W.
It's tough. But, again, we saw a lot of cool stuff tonight as well, just what Herman did, and things like that, and Cunningham, that all that. But I always ask my guests, what's next for you? I know you got a lot of stuff coming up. Busy season coming for you this fall.
Yeah, it's playoff baseball. We mentioned the Orioles won tonight 5-1. Looking forward to seeing what the Orioles season is going to be. Mm-hmm. And you get to the postseason, it's what it's all about. Last year, the sting of being swept out by the Rangers in the first round certainly stings, and I think a lot of fans are looking forward to getting back there and kind of getting a little revenge, not necessarily against Texas, but to be able to push past that first round. So I'm looking forward to that. The next couple of months is going to be really busy. October baseball is going to be here before you know it. Then, of course, the Ravens gearing up. And then I'll be back calling games with the Capital City Go-Go in the G League and following the Wizards, doing pre- and post-game on Monumental Sports for the Wizards. So I'll have a busy fall. It'll be a lot of fun. I'll make a trip down to see my oldest daughter at Alabama for football game. And then I'm going to watch my youngest play in this golf season coming up. She's a senior in high school. So, man, I got a busy fall.
Yeah.
As a dad, as a broadcaster, and I'm sure my wife will have a few honeydews on there as well.
It never stops. Working in sports, you're always going. And I think it's so cool.
It's what we love, though.
Yeah. No, I think it's so cool that, you're following the Orioles, the Wizards, the Ravens. You're teaching at Towson. I just think it's awesome, and it's so cool. And definitely inspiring to see you do it all and make it work and then build a career doing what you're doing.
By the way, you had me as a guest, and now I'm going to have to get you as one of my guests for my sports journalism class. And we bring people in to talk to the kids all the time about careers and all the things you do to get the jobs that you've gotten, the path that you're on. And so I have to return the favor.
I appreciate it. That sounds awesome. And I always love talking to aspiring sports broadcasters and happy to pass on some knowledge and wisdom to them. So I appreciate that. Brent Harris from WBAL, the Capital City Go-Go, and Towson University joining me on the broadcast tonight. Brent, thanks so much for the time.
It's been a blast. I enjoyed it.
All right, Iron Birds fans, that's it tonight. Birds drop this one 2-1, looking to get back in the win column tomorrow. First pitch at 7:05 Eastern. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for flying with me. Have a great rest of your night, and as always,